this year was a little bit different, you know, what's happened with the cap and the pandemic, and you know, kind of went into this thing with an open mind, knowing that, yeah, there is a very good chance that I end up back in St. Louis. That was our mindset the whole time.
I had an offer from Buffalo for 1 year with an opportunity to play with a guy named like Jack Eichel, Ralph as the coach. It seemed like a good opportunity for me, and it seemed like the right fit for me.
You know, as a team, I think that I don't know what their systems are right now or the game plan, but from playing against them, they're skilled, fast, and you know, they're hard to play against.
Well, Ziggy, there's only one more sleep until we head on up to Vaughn, the batting cage. So you've been doing your Pilates? Have you been?
No, I haven't been working out.
Getting your massages?
I haven't done anything. No, I haven't gotten therapy. My left elbow's bothering me. Haven't hit a baseball in 20 years, probably, maybe longer. And this is, I'm getting the, what do you call that? What do you call the cause handlebars? Was that what we're calling it?
Well, the Sammy Cosentino handlebar mustache is where
okay.
The Blue Jays pitching coach Pete Walker has it too. I've posted on Twitter. I think the handlebar mustache lets you off the hook a little too easily.
Oh, we're changing the bet now that, you know, I haven't hit a baseball in 20 years. You know, I haven't worked out. I'm probably going to get injured. And now you want to change the bet.
I can't change the bet without you agreeing to it.
I'm already going to say no because I know it's not good.
Well, it's the circle beard.
Oh, my goodness. Go to Twitter right now.
Yeah. I think
Scotty Mac thinks.
I think you could pull off the circle beard for a week. I didn't know this was a thing. But apparently, if you Google circle beard, you'll see it. It is.
People, that's Photoshopped, bud. That's not real.
You can grow that, though. You can grow that.
I don't know if I can grow. I don't think I have enough head. I don't have enough hair on my head to grow the top of it. I'm good on the bottom, but I can't grow the top of it. And anybody who's kind of balding that thinks they can grow that, let me tell you right now, you can't.
If you can grow hair on top of your head still, on the front, to the front side of your ear, you can bring the line down all the way to your sideburns and then roll with the hair under the chin, and it's just one big circle from the top of your head to underneath your neck above your Adam's apple. That's the circle beard. It's all connected.
Since you like it so much, why don't we, because of everything closing down, if we can't get you a net, why don't you do that if I hit a ball? Since you like it and you brought it up.
Well, I don't
like that.
I don't like it for me.
MacArthur.
I don't like it for me. I like it for you.
Yeah. What would you do going around one day in that?
I got to be honest. That guy kind of looks like Silk Gentilly. Doesn't he?
That is so rude. I can't believe what is hitting the roof right now.
No. Mike,
the producer, I'm telling you, I'd be upset. Mike?
No.
Yeah, that is a deep cut. I can't believe you said that.
No, but I'm not talking about the circle beard. I'm talking about the actual guy in the photo. They kind of look alike, right?
I can't believe you said that.
And Silk shaves his head. So I'm just piecing the two things together. I think he could own
I don't think Mike could grow that. Sorry.
I think that's
out of reach.
Like Jerry Seinfeld with the pirate shirt. I mean, Kramer and his girlfriend were trying to create a new fashion wave. You could create a whole new look.
I want to know how that started. The circle beard. Like, who started this? Like, are people running out of things to do?
Well,
come on.
I mean, we're all buried in our homes during COVID-19,
yeah.
Ziggy.
Oh, look who's up already.
Is he on the show today? No.
Is Stu Munro? He's probably practicing for Battle of the Blades because he's loving this right now.
I think
why is he... Yes. So
Stewie is out of bed.
Yeah. Anthony Stewart's up already. He listens because we rip him sometimes. I know he doesn't like it. Well, that's too bad.
Well, he'll be on
the shore. Yeah.
8:30 tomorrow morning, and he can get all of his shots in. All of his shots in on you. Oh, Silk Gentile is now texting us. He is angry. He is an unhappy guy right now. Anyway, you can go to @ScottyMac. Thanks. Now at Stu Monroe on Twitter for the circle beard. Unbelievable look. You back?
I'm back.
You had a panicky moment
you know
there.
When I can't hear.
Well, I'm trying to.
Vic turned me off. No, Vic turns me off. I think Silent Vic turns me off.
No,
sometimes.
You know what happened?
And I don't know if you tell him to turn me off.
No, you know what was happening? I was stuck in the circle beard vortex, and I'm like, crap, I got to pivot here because there's actual sports stuff to talk about. Meanwhile, you're waving at me on FaceTime.
I have a technical issue.
It's
I
panic
start
mode.
Waving. Oh my goodness, I'm sweating bullets right now.
Like you just fell short of taking a cigarette lighter to your hair. There, you're going to light on. Send up a flare.
Flare. I got cheeseburgers already.
You back?
Cheeseburgers like under the arm. You start sweating. You get the cheeseburger. You haven't heard that expression before, right?
I have heard the cheeseburgers. Oh, that's the best sound.
So, yeah.
The best sound.
But yeah, we're doing the batting cages tomorrow. People are free to throw some friendly wagers on the line. Who you think is going to come out on top? I got to hit a 90 mile an hour. I have to make contact.
Have a hope. There's no chance.
It can
no
go to chance. The side. It just has to go forward.
It has to go forward. Bet.
And it can go anywhere.
It can't forward. Be. Yes. And this, like, I don't want to have a Music City Miracle situation between Buffalo and Tennessee 20 years ago where we're debating whether your foul tip was a lateral or not, whether it went forward or went backward.
Buddy, don't talk to me about laterals and the NFL and gambling. I had the worst thing that ever happened to me in a football game. And I know there's people that gamble on games out there that has had this happen to them where they have a lock. And it doesn't happen because of the referees and Vegas and whoever the gambling gods are, take it against you. And it was a game in Pittsburgh in 2008. And they were on the 1 yard line and they got it called back twice with bad calls that were so ridiculous that would have put the game away with the spread. They both get called back. They kick the field goal. So I end up. Pittsburgh wins, but they had a cover, right? They don't cover now because they kicked the field goal to win. We're so happy they're on the one, right? Okay, we're like, okay, Roethlisberger, they're going to get in. It's a slam dunk. They don't get in. Me and all my buddies that put a lot of money on the game go back home, not happy. So we're leaving the stadium. They kick the field goal. They don't cover. All of us lost this huge bet we made together. And then we're watching on the monitors and whoever they were playing starts lateraling the ball to each other, trying to score, right? There's no time left. Pittsburgh ends up getting the ball. They turned it over. They get the ball, run it back in and cover.
That's the best backdoor cover
now,
ever.
So now we're running downtown. We were so dejected. And now we're all of a sudden we're like, we're going to go home. Then we're running downtown. We're like, we're going out tonight. You know, I don't care about practice tomorrow. I was like, dude, I was like talking crazy. And then by the time we got home back to my place to change and get ready, they had reversed the call because they said it was an illegal lateral during the play, the punt return.
Okay. So there had been the ball had been thrown forward at some point.
So the touchdown ends up getting overturned. They reviewed it next day and they said, no, actually, it was a good lateral. And I was just like, that is so fixed. And I know there's people out there, they have, and tell me about those games. Text us. You have NFL games that were fixed? Just brutal.
Text us to 590-590. Backdoor covers and other debacles that have ruined your Sunday. So did you end up going out once you got... home
no,
and
we were
realized.
So upset. Like, my buddies drove home to Toronto. They were so upset. They were going to stay the night. They drove home.
Jeez.
They're like, this ruins our night. Just think about that. On the one, you have to just get a touchdown to cover. Then you end up kicking. And then you end up, you get the ball back and you end up running one in, and then all of a sudden they turn it back for no good reason. Like, it was just the wrong call. I'm sorry, but that's the craziest thing I've ever seen in the NFL. I turn on the NFL Network the next day. You know what they lead with? If you had Pittsburgh to cover in this game, Vegas screwed you.
Damn.
Yeah.
You're still not over it 12 years later. How much cake did you lose? Or how much would you have won?
It was a lot. It was a lot, because we had a parlay, and the parlay is two games. So I don't know. I don't bet a lot on football. If I'm trying to explain to you what a parlay is,
I'm aware of what a parlay is. Yeah.
So we had a parlay. We had some other. I think the Cowboys were playing, and we had them winning. And I don't. It was just a bad. It just ended up. It turned everything bad. Like, just think about that. So all my buddies, they all drove home not happy, but. That didn't happen last night to our Bills.
No, and we'll get to that in a second here. Chuck from Oshawa has just texted into 590-590. He claims that he is a friend of Stewie's.
Has friends?
He wants Stewie to grow the circle beard.
Yeah, why doesn't Stewie do
that? For Battle of the Blades.
Oh, Stewie. I like it. Actually, I'm gonna respond to Stewie right now.
All right, well... The circle beard in Battle of the Blades would be a great place to debut the look. I bet it would pick up a national following if that was the case. We'll have to talk a little circle beard with Stewie when he joins us tomorrow morning at 8:30 with Justin Bourne. The Bills got trounced last night, and you want to talk about putting money on a football game. I had absolutely no thought that the Tennessee Titans would go out and roll the Bills the way that they did, Zig. And here's the thing. Teams coming off byes usually do very well, right? Because they've had the extra week. Tennessee has been just sitting around at home. But this isn't a usual bye week, because they were supposed to play a week ago Sunday, right? That game got postponed to later in the season, the game against Pittsburgh, because of COVID-19. You don't know who might have lingering effects, even though they all came, the positive tests stopped and they were able to reopen their facility and get a team out there on the football field. You don't know what kind of effect or lingering effect COVID-19 is going to have on a team. Didn't matter at all. Tennessee, in a battle of two undefeateds, got it done. And Bills fans want to sit here and panic. Oh, Bills fan! I saw so many Bills fans saying, "Well, we knew that was coming. This is the life of a Bills fan. Tease us for a month, and then inevitably the drop comes." Can everybody just take a chill pill on the Buffalo Bills? This is a good football team. Tennessee Titans also happen to be a good football team. The Bills are good. Josh Allen has very clearly taken the next step this year. They rode a really tough wave a couple of weeks ago, getting out to a big lead against the Rams, blowing that lead, and then winning near the end of the game. They hung in. That's not a result the Buffalo Bills would have gotten a couple of years ago had they blown a big lead. They would have folded like a cheap tent. Their day would have been over. They would have taken the L. The Patriots would have rocked and rolled their way to the division, usually having won it by the end of October. This Bills team is different. I expect a bounce back. I expect a bounce back.
Were Bills fans expecting them to go undefeated this year? Or were they just more upset that you lost to a team that hasn't practiced in 2 weeks? Well, we say practice. They were at the high school running through. I mean, that helps, but it's not your own facilities. So anyone saying that you're at the high school, and I'm sorry, that wasn't team sanctioned. You don't have everybody there. All your coaches are probably not all there. It's not the same as going to your practice facility or wherever, your home field. It's different. Exactly.
How can I make my teammates better by practicing.
Allen Iverson.
Practice.
Yeah, I mean practice. Like, I will say though, like it doesn't matter what sport it is. If you're not doing if you don't prepare the same way you get ready for a game, it's going to affect you at the end of the week. I can't imagine not playing or practicing at my home rink or practice rink and then playing a game, never mind a week. I'm going to say 3 days. If you gave me 3 days off before a game and I wasn't allowed to go on the ice, things are not going to be good. Are we not going to win or have no chance? Absolutely not. You can have a one-off. I don't think, you know, I joked last night on the text line, hey, I, you know, the Titans kind of figured out the formula. Everyone's not going to practice the rest of the year, but it's not sustainable. You watch. It'll hit the Titans. If they keep going and they're not allowed to practice at any of their facilities or they're shut down, they'll start to feel it. Anybody can have a one-off. I mean, did you not think the Bills dominated for a lot of the game? Like, they had the ball more.
Yeah, they threw Tennessee. A couple of untimely interceptions from Josh Allen. A
couple of bad interceptions. I don't know. Everyone, the problem with Bills Mafia is that they've been hurt so many times.
It's like Leafs.
Yeah. And that when you have just the one thing go wrong, what are you supposed to think of? Of course, you think of the absolute worst thing, like the season's over. But I think that I'm with you. Josh Allen has taken a step. He looks better than last year. Did you see that report on like the best velocity of all quarterbacks all time? He's got one of the best arms.
Well, there was never any question, Ziggy, about the strength of his arm. The questions about Josh Allen were always about the accuracy and the consistency of the accuracy. That's where I think he's taken the step this year. Last night being a bad example.
Still made a couple bad. Like, what's he looking at for that one interception? Like, I don't get it. What's he looking at downfield? I feel like he's such a better player that like that those plays, they just can't be part of his. They can't be part of his game anymore. He has to find a way to get rid of those. I don't mind being aggressive and a good defensive play, but just it's like an unforced error. Do you think maybe with Josh Allen, though, like, is that not the first time this year where he's had the pressure on, where he's had to play from a big hole? Like, I'm trying to think of the other games. Has he had to come back from 18 in the fourth quarter before? I don't think it's happened.
No, that will
change your game as a quarterback.
Well, of course it will, because you're not running the football anymore. So they're lining up.
Tennessee shut down the Bills running game. Like,
right,
they made them all one-dimensional.
Right, and they're lining up to Tongi at that point too. Right, they're storming with the pass rush, and when you're down more than two scores late in a football game, your only option is to pass, because you also can't run time off the clock. They got some really good tests coming up here. There's no question about it. They got Kansas City next Monday at home, right? And that was supposed to be the Thursday night game. Tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken, the schedule's screwed up.
Yeah, it's messed up.
Then they go to the Jets, the team that just released Le'Veon Bell.
How about that one?
Then they got the Patriots at home. Then they got the Seahawks at home. Then they got the Cardinals on the road.
It's going to be... I'm telling you, they're in for one.
Yeah, well,
I know this team's better, but...
I think this team can beat the New England Patriots.
I have no issue with that. I'm not thinking about that. The thing I worry about is they're starting to now compare Josh Allen to Mahomes. A lot of people are saying he's got a better arm than Mahomes, and they're comparing
he's getting
a lot of comparisons. I think that's a stretch.
Let's just let things play out here before we start anointing the next one. And people are saying, we're getting texts now, well, the Chiefs are coming in next. The Kansas City Chiefs just gave up 40 points to the Las Vegas Raiders. All right? There are vulnerabilities there. The Kansas City Chiefs were life and death in week two to beat the Los Angeles Chargers on the road. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs are not, they're the defending Super Bowl champs, but they have not been just no, that's, clicking that's and rolling I, here so far this season.
That's why I left them.
That's why you left them and joined the Ravens flock, who, by the way, have like a bottom third offense in the NFL so far this season. That's
how about
just,
that?
That's just
good. But their D, our D's well, number one. Our D. That's why.
Our D.
Our D.
Yeah. Our. Okay. Our and we.
I think, yeah. they gave up, I think they've given up the fewest points per game out of anybody
who's we, by
in the
way?
League.
Who's we?
You and Ravens your... flock and myself. You... buddy, we have Ravens flock fans that listen to the show. We have lots of Baltimore fans here. I have friends from Baltimore, okay? They're huge Ravens fans. And I like their... Okay, all joking aside, the Ravens, during all the stuff that's been happening the last couple months, they're like the only team to come out with a statement on what they're going to do in the U.S. with police reform, voting suppress. They came out with a statement, and that's why I love this organization. That's kind of where it all started. I know the whole joke, I love Lamar, and okay, they're one of the Super Bowl favorites, but they're one of the only organizations to make a statement during all of this awful stuff that's been happening.
And for
in
that,
North America.
And for
so,
that, they for that they deserve credit, absolutely. But
yeah,
I'm still
absolutely.
Not letting you off the hook for being a bandwagon fan. And I want to know who we is. Is that you? Is that you and your tapeworm?
That's me. Okay. That's me. I haven't joined the Facebook group yet. I should. Not on there too often. I should join the Facebook group because I think that would be funny. But
I think
not.
Yes, and that's a text line question to 590-590. Is it okay to say we with our favorite team?
Of course it is. It's my team.
Is it okay
for this year?
Can we say we you know, we need another defenseman with the Maple Leafs, or we need some more starting pitching with the Blue Jays, or man, how are we going to replace Mark Gasol? How are we going to move past Kyle Lowry once it's time for him to move on? How are we?
Yeah.
I've
gotten caught a couple times with the Leafs saying we. You never call me out on it, but well, I do drop the odd we.
That's probably
tougher.
That's probably because I view it as a we as well.
You said we too. Oh, no, you say we for the Senators.
Here's
forgot about that.
What? That was a dig. When did I say that we lost Tim Stützle for 6 to 8 weeks to an arm injury? You didn't hear me.
Oh, how about
that? You didn't hear
that?
Me say that.
Didn't he break his arm in practice, too? It's not even a game.
Yeah, they called it the Adler Mannheim Twitter account. That's where he's playing, called it in training. So I didn't know right away whether that was like he busted it up in the gym or if it was actually something that happened on the ice in practice. But 6 to 8 weeks from now, I mean, what's that? I don't think we're going to have NHL hockey underway.
No, he'll be back up and ready. But if it's your prospect, I mean, you don't really want that to happen.
Of course not. At least he can use his lower body, though. He can stay in shape. Right? On the broken arm?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have my hand taped up, too.
Oh, God.
I got surgery on my hand in 2 weeks. How about that?
I thought you told me your elbow screwed up.
My elbow is bad. This is a hand injury I've had for, like, a while from playing. I've broken my baby finger a couple times and it hasn't do you want me to show you on FaceTime? That's tough. We can't let the listeners
see this.
I'm not posting it. Nope. You'll see it. Maybe watch all the content tomorrow for Sportsnet. Where's this going on?
Oh, we're going to throw it up everywhere. Probably Twitter, Instagram.
Okay, we'll show my hand. It's kind of gross. Like I can't bend my baby finger.
Okay.
So I actually have surgery at Dr. Pecora in Kingston, Ontario next week, or 2 weeks.
Oh.
So I can't even.
So that's when you went to Kingston a month. Oh my God, that is gross. That's
yeah,
what your finger
gross.
Looks like?
It's that's
stuck
straight,
like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Can't move it.
That's not like a
so I don't even know.
Angle.
I can't even grab a bat with it. So I've got the elbow problem. I haven't hit a ball in 20 years and now my finger. I can't grab a baseball bat.
Well, thankfully,
it's going to be pretty much one-handed with my right hand.
Thankfully, Hugh and I can play the violin for you, though. With all these sad songs you're singing. Yeah, we're heading up to Vaughn tomorrow, the hitting cage, the batting cage, and Ziggy's going to attempt to knock a 90-mile-an-hour fastball with no elbow, no shoulder, and a thumb and three fingers on his left hand. That's a big claim you made, considering how broken you are.
Buddy, I just said, like, I could hit a ball. I didn't think we're actually going to go and do it. Like, you took that way too seriously.
Yeah.
When's the last time you left the city, outside of visiting your family, when's the last time you left the city to do anything? Like, people that live downtown never leave. Like, you're going to Vaughn.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy for you?
Like, I go to Oakville every weekend to see family.
I said not to visit your family. When's the last time you left the city limits? You can't even remember.
I went to the Bahamas the first week of February.
That's a long
remember
time
that? Ago. First week of February.
That's a long time not to leave the city. People that live downtown, they never go out of the city. Yeah. When I live downtown, I never do it either. It's just so
I lost some money at Atlantis for a week in early February, and that's it. By the way, you are allowed to say we from a 905 number because you played for the Leafs. You're alumni. Therefore, you can. There is no we unless you lace up the skates and put cleats on. Here's my take. I say we, and you've heard me do this about the 49ers. If I spend money, which I have, to fly to San Francisco to buy tickets to their game and to watch and to cheer and to buy beer and food and then come home, if I'm spending four figures to watch my favorite football team play, I can damn well say we lost, we won, we're struggling right now, we could use a new quarterback, half our team is injured. Why am I angry every Sunday? Because of us. All of that, I'm allowed.
Okay.
I'm taking ownership. Text us to 590-590. When is we allowed, or is we allowed, when we talk about our favorite teams? Are we going to win the Stanley Cup? Damn well hope we do. That'll be a yay or nay question, perhaps, because we will yay
maybe
or nay at the top
we'll
of the 7 o'clock hour.
Let's ask Berkey that one.
Oh, yes. He'll love, yes, let's ask Berkey that one.
Well, you're asking
I'll
him.
Ask
I'm
it.
Not asking.
I'll ask him.
I'm not doing
no,
it.
No, and I can tell you right now, I don't give a crap about that question. That is going to be the start of the answer, and then he'll proceed to answer it.
I know we're up against the clock, but we got to talk about the Vegas jerseys that just got unveiled with Petr Angelo's name on it. I hope that's in Burl the lead.
Yeah.
It better be. You got time to change it in there.
Some little baby took a crap. They turned the
you
diaper.
Didn't like it?
They turned the diaper upside down and spread it on a white shirt and said, that's the color right there.
Most beautiful jersey in the NHL.
Oh my, we'll talk Hands about down. It. Let's discuss. Right. I need more than 30 seconds.
That's the voice of Hugh Burl. He will be in with Burl the lead. Kevin Barker, Brian Burke, Adnan Virk, all ahead. Stay with us. Troll poll. This from a 289 number. What's more likely, Ziggy hits 90 miles per hour or he tears his ACL with all of his backpedaling?
Oof.
Damn.
Don't make a knee injury joke, please. Please. No knees. Do anything else but the knees.
I just don't want to get hit by the ball.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Hugh, I'm telling you,
that's what I'm saying too. I'm worried I'm worried I'm going to hit one. It's going to go. Can you hit a ball and it go off your head after? Like, can you actually make contact with a ball and it hit your head?
It could bounce.
I'm okay with it bouncing.
And then getting you up underneath the chin. Yes, that could happen technically.
I'm okay with that happening.
You're not going to pop it up into your face, Siggy. I think that's like from a physics perspective.
Because to do that, you'd have to make contact.
Well, yes. Boom!
Huh.
What do you think about the circle beard? Did you see that on Twitter?
I saw that.
I think Hugh would look good with the circle beard, actually. Why don't we get Hugh involved in it? Hugh's got to grow the circle beard if he doesn't hit 50.
I can't grow the hair on the top of my head, Zig, or else I would.
It's okay. We'll patch it in. So Hugh's got to do the circle beard if he can't hit.
No. I didn't shoot off my mouth saying
what do you think he should be able to hit? 50, Scotty? Like what's,
oh, we can all
be
hit 50. We can 50. All hit 50.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then we'll make it 60.
60.
You've got to grow the circle.
The circle.
You've got to grow the circle beard if he doesn't hit 60.
I would if I could, but I can't. I'm willing to do something
60
else.
60 is hittable.
Yeah.
It's 70, 75. It starts to get negotiable.
Okay, well, I want to go with something he can do.
Okay.
So we'll do 60.
All right.
I'll go vegan for a month. Uh-oh. The hell did I just say?
Vic's got that on tape.
When I say vegan, I actually meant vegetarian. And Ziggy, you'd have to help me with the menu on that one, because I have no idea what I would eat.
Kevin Barker, Brian Burke, Adnan Virk, all ahead on the show. Yay or nay at the top of the hour. Hypothetical scenarios that we say either happen or don't. Here's Hugh to grow the circle beard and bury the lead,
or burl the lead. Circle beards, but we will talk about some hockey. The Leafs signed goaltender Aaron Dell. Expected to be some insurance for Freddie Anderson and Jack Campbell now that Kazimier Kaskisuo has signed with the Nashville Predators. Dell spent his first 4 years with the Sharks. Speculation, the Leafs are also interested in former Shark and current unrestricted free agent Joe Thornton. That would be interesting. New Leaf defenseman TJ Brody was on Tim and Sid last night. He was asked what he brings to the back end.
Be a solid puck mover, as versatile as I can, as far as try to be able to play both sides wherever the team needs me. And, I just want to get the pucks in the forwards' hands as quick as I can and, let them get to work with their skill.
Just wants to get the puck up there to the forwards. Puck moving defenseman.
Do it for the boys.
Do it for the boys, yeah. Ziggy, tell us a little bit about TJ Brody.
Just a low maintenance player, right? He's not going to do anything too flashy out there. He can be creative, but he's just going to be very reliable defenseman. Most nights you're not going to notice him, and that's what you want out of your defenseman. Some of the best games your defensemen play are when you don't notice him, and that's him. I think he's exactly what the Leafs need. That's the guy they had to target, and I'm happy they signed him. I think it's going to really change the back end. I hope he plays with Riley, because I think it's going to help him get back to where he was a year ago. We're not going to get, off the ice, quiet guy, you can tell from some of the interviews he's done already, he's not going to say much. He'll be a leader on this team. I think it's going to change the makeup of the room. And that's something that no one can really talk about. None of the analytics, none of the stat sheets are ever going to show that kind of stuff. But I think he's someone in the room that once he gets into that room, he's going to help it out a lot.
Taylor Hall, a guest on Hockey Central yesterday. Now, Hall raised a few eyebrows when he signed a one-year, $8 million deal with the Buffalo Sabres instead of going to a cup contender. So, Tay, why not another team?
They weren't in the same price range, really not close to that. We thought this was a really good fit, and this is the best thing for me going forward. I think there's a lot of opportunity in Buffalo to grow and improve as a team, and I feel really positive about it. I woke up yesterday feeling great, and I'm really excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, Hall says he's really excited about the prospect of playing with Jack Eichel, and he should be, because Eichel is absolutely one of the best in the league.
That kind of sounds like me when I'm shopping for a DVD player. It was just out of my price range,
Ziggy, nothing's out of your price range.
Are you shopping for a DVD player in 2020?
You're going to trade in the old VCR, are you? Okay.
I still do have a VCR in my house.
Ziggy, there's this thing called Blu-ray. Take it one step further.
No. HD DVD, my friend. I have the future.
I have a VHS player. What do you call it? Player?
A VHS? A VCR. Yeah.
VCR.
Yeah.
So
don't worry. Anybody listening who's 25 or younger... They needed clarification on it, too. They didn't know it was called a VCR.
You think it's weird that I have a DVD player underneath my TV right now?
Is it plugged in?
Yeah, it's plugged in and everything.
And it's not flashing like 12 o'clock?
No, it works. It works, and it's been used. Wow. Not that long ago. You think that's strange? I have a DVD.
Yeah.
If
you've got some DVDs, sure. But everything you can get on demand now on your
whatever.
Rogers
I have
Ignite.
A DVD player, and I have a VCR that's not plugged in. Thank you.
Wow. The biggest, I didn't think we'd be talking about VCRs.
You have a beta machine?
No. Remember the top loading betas? They weighed about like 400 yes. pounds.
And they cost a lot of money.
Oh my God.
They weren't cheap.
Biggest free agent fish of the pond traded blue for gold. Alex Pietrangelo signing a 7-year deal with Vegas. He admits he expected to stay in St. Louis.
This year was a little bit different, you know, obviously because of, you know, what's happened with the cap and the pandemic and you know, every team's operating differently right now. So, I mean, honestly, I didn't know what to expect, but kind of went into this thing with an open mind, knowing that, yeah, there is a very good chance that I end up back in St. Louis. That was our mindset the whole time.
So the best part about Pietrangelo signing with the Vegas Golden Knights is now he gets to wear that absolutely spectacular
it's awful,
third
Hugh.
Jersey. It's gold. It's
like
sparkly.
Golden sparkles.
It is the best.
Oh, my
goodness.
I
respectfully
goodness.
Disagree.
Love it.
Okay, in terms of third jerseys, I've seen worse.
You remember the Nashville
Way
Predators?
Worse.
Yeah. You remember the Nashville Predators had a third jersey that was diaper stain yellow?
Yep. Pea soup green or whatever it was, yeah.
This is diaper stain yellow.
It's not.
Remember Calgary had the, would they have the third jersey? They had the horse on it. It was just.
Well, the black jersey that was.
Yeah, I didn't like ridiculous. The Calgary third jersey. Yeah, the Calgary third jersey, not feeling it.
No. There have been some hideous
there was,
third jerseys in the
if
NHL.
If you go back to the 90s. Those were the heydays of bad jerseys. There was a Gretzky Kings one.
Yes.
Remember with the cartoon king?
Yep.
Up on the
looked like a deck of cards.
Top left of the chest. Yeah.
The Islanders, the Fisherman's Friend jerseys, they were awful.
Yeah, you'd go to Madison Square Garden and the Rangers fans would throw fish sticks onto the ice. That and booing Denny Potvin.
Yeah.
Still.
They still do that to this day. Other NHL stuff quickly. Former Leaf Patrick Marleau signed back with San Jose to a 1-year deal. The 41-year-old sits just 44 games behind Gordie Howe for the most played all time. In Montreal, contract talks between the Habs and forward Brendan Gallagher have broken off. Gallagher entering the final year of his 6-year deal. $3.75 million per. And if you're a Habs fan, you want him signed. ASAP. Let's move on to football. Tennessee Titans proving last night the practice is overrated.
Tannehill dropping under pressure, rolling to his right. He might run this in. 5. Tannehill. Touchdown. Titans with the finger roll.
Yeah, Titans hammered the Bills 42-16 in Tuesday night football. Handing the Bills their first loss of the year, Titans moved to 4-0. Not bad for a team that could only practice twice over the past couple of weeks because of their COVID outbreak. Post-game, Tannehill says the win was redemption of sorts.
You know, personal things that were said against our team, our guys, really felt uncalled for. So, yeah, we were a little ticked off about how we've been treated, how we've been looked at over the past couple of weeks. And we really just stuck together through that process and believed in each other and wanted to come out and play our game and play how we believe in each other and knew what we could do. We did that.
I'm not so sure Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans should be playing the victim card here when it comes to the COVID outbreak. They brought that on themselves.
Yeah, who knows how it exactly got in, but then the fact that they didn't take the necessary steps and stay away from the facility.
Yeah.
Bills fans, just take a deep breath. You weren't going 16-0.
You're 4-1. You're fine. You're fine. I heard you guys talking about Josh Allen earlier in the first half hour of the show. And to me, the biggest difference between Josh Allen now and maybe Josh Allen last year is the fact he's willing to stay in the pocket a little bit longer, whereas before he would very quickly opt for the run because he is such a good runner. He's such a big physical guy.
And you're throwing off balance. And
yeah, but now he's holding back a little bit, just waiting that extra second.
You want a hot take? They'll beat Kansas City on Monday at home next week.
Like you're saying, Kansas City's not exactly...
I'll take that one.
I'm not going with the circle beard. Where's the game? No, I'm not putting circle beard on the line. It's in Buffalo.
It's in Buffalo. I like Buffalo to win that game. Why not?
I'm not putting the circle beard
Chiefs
on the line.
Chiefs are not losing two in a row. No. Not happening.
The Jets have released running back Le'Veon Bell. Jeez, hell surprise. He was disgruntled after not being used much on the 0-5 team. He was never a fit with head coach Adam Gase, who actually didn't even want him. Earlier, defensive back Jamal Adams left for Seattle. So tough times if you're a Jets fan. But if you're a Jets fan, you're used to it by now. Baseball. ALCS. Rays beat the Astros 5-2. What's up with Jose Altuve?
Steve Sachs,
he's
Chuck Knobloch.
He's short-arming everything now. A third throwing error of the series led to a 5-run sixth for the Rays. Tampa now up 3-0. In that series, NLCS, Braves jumped out to a 7-0 lead, hung on for an 8-7 win in a 2-0 series lead. And gentlemen, it was 5 years ago today, the bat flip heard round the world.
So long, and it's gonna burn you.
Great call. October 14th, 2015, game five of the ALDS against the Texas Rangers, seventh inning. I'm not sure if it's the most iconic home run in Blue Jays history, but it is one of the top three moments for sure.
Well, it was a huge moment, and I was fortunate to be in the building that day. The place was literally shaking.
Yeah, I couldn't hear myself.
We don't have the time right now to go back over the entirety of that seventh inning, but you remember Texas scored the weird run to take the lead in the top of the seventh, and the building was angry. And I remember turning to a colleague who I was sitting beside in the press box, and I said, if the Jays lose this game 3-2, because that weird run when Russell Martin's throw back to Aaron Sanchez hit Shin Soo Choo's bat and Rougned Odor came down from third and scored, and nobody
people.
Knew what was going on. Yeah, well, that was before everything, right, with Rougned Odor. I remember turning to him and saying, if they lose 3-2, we're going to have to hole up in this stadium tonight because I don't know what we're going to walk into if we step outside. It had that feeling, just that intensity.
Many beers were thrown. And they weren't cheap beers either. Back then, they were still like 12 or 13 bucks.
Sure. Mm. 5 years ago.
Yep.
What's happened to
Long
our youth?
Flies.
What's happened to our youth? Well, yay or nay at the top of the hour. We're taking your text to 590-590 on the acceptable use of we when talking about our favorite teams. We need another defenseman. We need help up front. We need to win next weekend to make the playoffs. We. Is it okay or not? I say that it is, especially if you spend good money to support your team. We're getting texts saying Ziggy can say we with the Leafs because he played for them. Maybe that's where you draw the line. Text us to 590-590 and dial up now 416-870-0590, 416-870-0590. We've got $300 in Untuckit gift cards to give away today. We'd like to do it. We always try by playing All or Nothing, which we'll do next. Nothing is three true or false questions. Got to get them all right or get them all wrong. We give $100 away in Untuckit gift cards when we play, but if we don't have a winner, the amount carries over, and we're on a two-game losing skid. We're like the LA Dodgers in the playoffs. Need to turn this thing around. Rick in Toronto is the one we hope does it. Good morning, Rick. Happy hump day.
Morning, boys. Thank you. Thank you.
Rick, good luck to you. $300. You'll never tuck again.
Ziggy, never.
Question one.
On this day in 1992, the Jays won their first pennant. The team they beat to get to their first World Series was Oakland. True or false?
False.
It was
That's
true.
Okay.
The Jays won in six games.
Yep,
Alomar was the MVP.
Yeah, hit the big home run. Hit the big home run in game four off Dennis Eckersley in that series. All right, it's okay. You got it wrong, Rick, but now you got to get the next two intentionally incorrect.
Rick, let me ask you a question. What's better than one Van Gundy?
Two.
That's right, two Van Gundys.
Let's False.
See how, let's see how well you know them. Stan Van Gundy is talking to the Pelicans about their coaching vacancy. Stan has more wins than his brother, Jeff. Is that true or is that false? And get it wrong.
True.
Nah. Unfortunately, you were right. Stan, 523. Jeff Van Gundy, 430 victories.
Now, the question I would have asked to Rick would have been to see how well he knows the Maple Leafs and their defensemen. Last year, despite all of the criticism, Tyson Barry was the highest scoring Maple Leafs defenseman and the fifth highest points getter on the team.
What?
The answer to that question would have been true. Therefore, Rick would have needed to say false. He led the Leafs defenseman with 39 points and was fifth to Matthews, Marner, Tavares, and Nylander. There you have it.
Huh. I may have stumped with that one.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. 400
no,
tomorrow.
No, you would have got that one?
No.
Well, Morgan Riley missed a lot of time. If I'd taken the time to piece it together in my mind, I guess I might have gotten it correct. But, yeah.
No other lead forwards? No one else had 39 points? Yeah. I'm actually quite shocked.
Not according to Silk Gentile. You look all that right up, Ziggy, and if he got it wrong, he's got to
do the circle beard.
He's the one who could do the circle beard.
Yes.
He could definitely do the circle beard.
It's a great
one. I think he'd have trouble with the top of it. I'm not sorry. Can I know you want to say it, but I'll say it.
Going out in public with that. say you had to have it for a week. Imagine hitting up the grocery store.
If they're
I'm not kidding. I'd have a hard time doing the top of it as well. I don't think I could grow on the top.
I think it's one of those things where some clippers and some scotch tape can help you patch up the.
I'm thinking about doing
missing
those
spots.
I'm thinking about doing the plugs. I heard that's very popular. Yeah, they're moving the hair from different spots. They're moving it from different spots to the front. You know, a lot of men are doing that these days. More than you guys know. I've heard a couple names, like personalities on TV and media. They're moving the hair around.
Moving the hair from different spots.
That's what they do.
We'll have to do a deeper dive into that conversation.
Do we have to, really?
Have to find out exactly. Top of your head is short and curly. It just never seems to grow.
Right. Back hair is a different texture than head hair. So I'm told.
My God. Well, we'll have to yay or nay that one. Should Ziggy get hair plugs? That'll be a yay or a nay. Brian Burke coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, and at 7:30, Kevin Barker on baseball's playoffs. And does he think Ziggy can hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball? He's going to try at the batting cage tomorrow. It's all ahead. I think we've developed about three different yay or nay possibilities in addition to some of the hypothetical sports scenarios that we're going to play out here over the next 10, 15 minutes or so. The use of we, talking about our favorite teams, the circle beard. Apparently Ziggy's going to start shaving his unmentionables and look for hair plugs. Are you getting hair plugs? Is this really going to happen?
I'm thinking about it. A lot of people are doing it these days.
I'm not.
They're moving the hair. They're moving the hair from the back to the front. That's what they're doing. Don't look at me. I didn't invent it.
No,
it looks good. It looks good on like a lot of guys. They look good with it. Like I've seen some guys, they're losing their hair, and I'm like, something's different about you. Like, yeah, I'm moving the hair to the front.
Is that going to put you on the shelf for a little while? Like, are we going to lose you for a couple of weeks as you recover?
I don't think you're out of commission. I think it's like a long process. Like,
you
got to go.
if you get the plug, Ziggy, you're gonna go. Mm-hmm. You're gonna go right back to how it was in your mid 20s. Like you will go full flow.
I will be going out. I will be partying. I'm gonna be making reservations. Things are gonna be working.
I don't think you understand that we're never leaving our homes again.
Besides for going on a golf course, I haven't left my house.
It's so screwed up. I was talking to my partner about it last night. I said, we went out in February and it's like it was not 8 months ago. It was a lifetime ago or a different life. Like we've become so accustomed now to what we're doing and how we behave in the pandemic era.
I haven't gone to how crazy is it? I haven't been to a restaurant in Toronto since like end of February, beginning of March.
Crazy. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's really hard to, like when you think about it, it is crazy.
And there's nothing nicer than going out once every little while for a bottle.
Once in a while. I don't go out all. I don't go out a lot. I like to go out maybe twice a month. I would go. I mean, we wake up early. Let's be honest. Like, we can't go out like late night, you know, dinner. Like, I don't go to dinner parties in the last year anymore. Like, it's not possible. My friends go out for dinner at 8 o'clock. I'm winding down. If I'm out, I can't stay up past 9 o'clock. So the fact that, you know, you get to go out and have those dinners once in a while. It's not happening. I know we got to get to yay or nay, but what did you think about Ronaldo and Dustin Johnson testing positive?
Yeah. The hard thing, Ziggy, is without complete and total knowledge of how they acquired it, mm-hmm. etc. I think one thing we've got to be really careful about is not stigmatizing people who end up with COVID-19, because it can happen in so many different ways. The Tennessee Titans arc, we don't know how the virus initially got into the Titans facility. The silly stuff about showing up to the facility after the positive tests and being around one another, knowing that this is a contagious virus, that stuff I think we can hold an opinion on and say that was stupid. But I think we got to be careful not to stigmatize people, because we just don't know. If Novak Djokovic is throwing a party in a Ibiza or wherever the hell they were, then we can comment on it. But it's hard to know.
I just wonder, when do you think there's going to be a point where we're not, that it's not going to be reported on? Like, it's just going to be like, yeah, somebody, hey, I, you know, you're talking to someone else, a friend of a friend you see online. Yeah. Oh, you heard this guy got it. I wonder when that time will come where it's not news, because it's news right now. Right. I understand if you're playing. Okay. I get it. But like the McDavid thing, Edmonton came out with a statement. I just wonder when that time will come when there's no statements being made.
We'll see. Hopefully this thing gets eradicated and then we don't have to worry about it anymore. Ready for a little yay or nay? Oh, I knew we were starting with this. Of course we were starting with this. Yay or nay, Ziggy, with the moves the Maple Leafs made in the offseason, they will surely end their run of not making it out of the first round of the playoffs. So there's no time stamp on this. I'm going to add one. This season, the Leafs will advance past the first round of the playoffs. Yay or nay?
Yay. This is the year. They've made the moves. They've mixed it up probably the most in the last 3 years. This is what they've added. So I like it. New defense. This is going to be a different looking team this year. And if it's not, it's all being torn apart. If it's the same, it's going to be different next year. Yeah. Let me tell you that.
Well, I don't doubt that these guys are competitors, and Austin Matthews certainly wasn't complacent. I mean, that guy would have had 50 goals in an 82-game season, right? We know Tavares is a max effort guy. Like Mitch Marner, you just got to take a deep breath. take a deep breath. You're into the second year of the contract now. Bygones are bygones. Come out and play hockey.
He has to find the fun again. If you had to ask me one thing, Mitch Marner this, Mitch Marner that, oh, his analytics aren't the same as 2 years ago. He didn't put up the numbers, different coach, different line mates, whatever. Throw all that out. If I had to give advice to Marner, it's go out and play. Like, why do you play this game? None of these guys, you don't get to that level and play
Ziggy,
for the money.
Ziggy,
I'm telling you, it just doesn't happen.
I'm telling you right now, there is almost nothing Mitch Marner can do to achieve full value on that contract in the eyes of a lot of people because he is not a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. He is a setup man. He is a 100-point guy. But 75 of those at least are going to come in the way of assists, right? And people are going to look at the goal total and see 20 to 25 a year and that you're paying a guy almost $11 million. And they're going to say, that's the contract that throws this whole thing into the wash. Because Nylander's scoring 30, making shy of 7.
It's tough when you compare him to guys like Braden Point in Tampa. Very hard. Right? It's difficult. That's the comparable, right? What did he sign for? What's he making? 6 right now? 6 and change?
Mm-hmm.
It's hot. Yeah. When you look at contracts, I've always said this to you. There's no bad players, just bad contracts.
I feel like we have to take this opportunity to inject one of our previous hour topics into yay or nay. Yay or nay, and I don't know if this is totally black and white. Yay or nay, it is okay to use we when talking about our favorite teams. I say yay. And I say yay because if I spend money to watch my favorite team play, especially if my favorite team is a long way from where I live, I'll use the San Francisco 49ers as an example. If I'm spending $1,000 plus on a flight there and back from the Bay Area, and I'm spending money on football tickets, beer, food, whatever, spending a weekend in San Francisco, absolutely I can use the word nay. Nay. Yes, absolutely I could use the word nay. But, but I said yay. I meant we. Holy crap. I'm never going to get this back. You need to pick me up. Stop laughing. I screwed that up. Yes, I can use the word we.
I'm going to let you sit on this one for a little.
And that thing is a bloody whoopee cushion. Oh, my God. Yes, I can use the word we. We, I can use the word we. I'm turning this into a French thing. We, I can use the word we.
I'm on board with using we, so I'm a yay, correct? And not a nay.
Not a nay.
I should have just let you, because I love just letting you sit and not say anything just when it's relied.
Based in my misery.
Oh my goodness. I still have to get you back for that, the Philly thing. I gotta figure that out. I'm gonna get you back one of these days.
Was in the pandemic era. That was 6 months ago now. That's
I
a
don't
long
care.
Time. You're still sitting on that, huh?
Oh yeah, I've got the memory of an elephant.
All right. And I'm
ready.
And I'm not so ashamed to throw the appropriate people under the bus. Silk Gentile is just as guilty.
If you didn't remember that, listening to the show right now, we had a guest on.
Chris Falcone.
Great.
Chris Falcone. Chris Falcone was the guy who fell into the penalty box at the Flyers-Leafs game in Philly, and Ty Domi was squirting him with water and then started beating down on him when he fell into the penalty box. We had him on. It was not good. And that
he
was...
He woke up 20 seconds before he came on the show.
Right. It was
maybe 15.
It was March 31st. And then the next morning, we had you all confused thinking, well, we're bringing Chris Falcone back on.
Well, tee this one up a little better. No, tee this part of the story.
Well, he was so bad.
Better.
He wants to come on, make amends. He feels terrible for how bad the interview was. We're giving him a second chance. And we April Fool's'd you the next morning.
And they all got me. So we played the interview from the day before, and then everybody waited while it was my turn to ask questions. Yes, that did not turn out well for me. I will be getting Mr. MacArthur back at some point. I just don't know what yet.
All things being equal, of all of the cities that host NHL teams, Las Vegas is clearly the number one choice for free agents. Yay or nay?
It's a good question there.
The qualifier really is all things being equal. So that's taxes and all those things that we take in. I'm going to say nay on that one. If I had one place I could sign as a National Hockey League player, where do you think I'd sign?
Salt Lake City doesn't have an NHL team.
Yeah, but that's not me. That's you. You're the one who loves Salt Lake City and the nightlife. All those jazz bars where the Utah Jazz get their nickname from, right? And all those jazz bars in Salt Lake City. Yeah. B.B. King used to sell out every night in Salt Lake City. Good Lord. No.
Where do you think?
I'd sign with the Los Angeles. No, I wouldn't do that. No. Los Angeles Kings. Imagine making $10 million a year if you're a top-end player.
It's awesome.
Playing in Los Angeles.
It is awesome.
And absolutely nobody knows who you are in one of the great cities in America, and also with good winter weather and all that. You're popular because you're a hockey player, but you can also walk down the street and you're pretty much anonymous.
The guys that I know that have played there, yeah, most of them live like that Bay Area, like the Manhattan Beach.
Yep.
What is it? What other beaches are right next to it?
Hermosa, Redondo,
yes.
Newport Beach down that way.
No, but it's Manhattan where a lot of the guys live. Okay. Imagine having a place there on the Strand.
God.
And, like, the practice rink is right there in El Segundo. It's a hike to the main rink at Staples, but whatever. You can put up with a little bit of traffic on game days. Yeah. I mean, when they won the Cups, I don't know who was telling me. I don't know if this was Justin Williams, but one of the guys I was talking to were just like, they had a cup party and they brought the cup down Manhattan Beach, like the boulevard. And like, it was a party, but it wouldn't be like when I was in Pittsburgh, there was a million people that showed up. Toronto, how many? You'd have 5 million people in the streets. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like a little celebration down the boulevard, you know, the Stanley Cup's on the beach.
The 20,000 fans who go to the games were there.
Are out there. Not even 20,000 were there. So the point is that, yeah, you kind of have your freedom. You're on the beach, you surf, you play. I mean, Marty McSorley talks about it. We had him on the show, haven't we?
Like, yeah, we did a few months ago. Yep.
So, I mean, I've talked to him a lot about playing in L.A. I mean, the guys are playing beach volleyball every day. I mean, it would be a great spot to play. Taxes are the highest, I believe, in the U.S.
Right, but remember, it's all things being equal.
Okay.
That's...
I think Vegas would take it for me, and I'm not sure if because I've spent some time in Vegas. I have some friends that live out. They don't live right downtown. They live like... I have friends throughout the suburbs, right? And I love that. I love the Vegas lifestyle. I lived in Scottsdale and Phoenix. That was great as well. The thing about Vegas is that you sell out every game. LA, good draw, but not what Vegas is. That experience at Vegas, and I haven't gone to a game, but a lot of friends have gone. They love the atmosphere. They loved the whole product that they have. You have a team that wants to spend money. The owner wants to spend money. They take great care of you. The living, the taxes. I'm telling you, I do. I'm gonna yay. Are we doing? Is it a yay? Yeah,
it's yay.
We were so long ago with that question. Yeah.
So I'm an A because I go to LA. You're a yay because you'd go to LV.
LA's pretty darn good, though. Trust me.
Well, Silent
pretty
Vic.
Good.
Silent Vic for the tiebreak. Ottawa. I like that one. He would go to Ottawa. Little Tucker Carlson, Ottawa.
Carlson. I want to know who he's. I know. Where then?
Where would you go? Get in my ear, Silent Vic. Oh, Toronto. He'd sign in Toronto.
Okay. Don't. You can't say the home team. That doesn't count. That's Silent Vic.
Chris in Toronto. Look at the life Corey Perry led for years in Anaheim. A millionaire athlete. Oh. Nobody knows who he was. Great weather all year round. The Anaheim, only thing with Anaheim, it's a little, it's Orange County boring.
There's
though.
No down, there's nothing, there's no city.
Yeah, that's why
like a
I picked
little strip.
That's why I picked L.A.
You
I've
know,
been down
it's
there.
Pretty honestly though, San Jose, anything in California, like San Jose, I heard is no.
No,
trust
I went to
they
San Jose.
They sell out every game.
Yes, they do.
They sell out every game. It's great living. They don't live in downtown San Jose where the rink is. They live at some other like. Rafi Torres said he loved it. He loved it.
Oh, it'd be a great area to live in. I'm just saying downtown San Jose is not at all exciting. Like you'd have to go.
Yeah, but downtown LA is exciting. I don't like downtown LA. You have Dodger Stadium that's kind of downtown.
But you're not
going. But besides for that.
You're not going to the beach in San Jose in the middle of winter.
You're an hour from Pebble Beach golfing.
Oh, there you go.
An hour.
There you go.
An hour and you're on the first tee at Pebble? Sign me up.
Little Monterey Carmel action.
You're 2 hours from Napa Valley? Oh, buddy. There's been way too many buddies today.
Yeah. I'm buddied out. Yay or nay, if an NFL team causes a game to be postponed because of COVID-19 and irresponsible behavior, the way that the Titans, once it got into the system, closed down their facilities and yet they still went to the facilities, irresponsible behavior, they should forfeit the game and pay their game checks to the other team. Well, I'm a nay on that one because of the last part. I don't think they should forfeit their game checks, but I do think they should forfeit the game and the result.
Yeah, I'm a nay as well.
The problem is that you have to have the investigation be quick and be conclusive if you're going to force a team to forfeit. Because you can't blame a team if COVID gets in because somebody's second cousin showed up and didn't break jurisdictional laws, showed up at their home, got them sick. They were asymptomatic for 3 or 4 days. You went along not knowing anything, not being any the wiser. Then all of a sudden there's a full outbreak. If you behave responsibly from the time the tests start being positive onward, you can't be punished for that. So it's really, really tough.
There's an understanding between the league and the NFLPA, the players, that when they started, they said, hey, some teams might have outbreaks. We're going to switch the schedule. We might have some cancellations. You guys have to deal with it. Guaranteed that memo went out. So if you're the Buffalo Bills and the Titans come down with it and now they have to switch the whole schedule, like how many players have we heard that aren't happy with this? Maybe you heard a couple of the Bills complain that, oh, now we have to play 2 days later. Like I prepared for Sunday. Now I got to play Tuesday. I don't know. I don't hear much of that chatter amongst the majority of NFL players, how now they're switching the schedule. I think it's just something they know. They talked about before the season started. This is going to happen. Live with it.
Last one. Well, you never want to find a good thing to come out of COVID, but the NFL should permanently move more games into Monday and Tuesday nights. Yay or nay? I'm saying nay. I'm a nay.
You don't want Monday and Tuesday games.
No, I do want Monday. No, I said more games on Monday. No, I want the Monday nighter, but I don't want more games spread throughout the week. I like the fact, because I think a lot of the Thursday games are bad. They've done a better job of trying to hone in on better matchups for Thursday night now that Fox and some of the major networks, not just the NFL Network, have gotten involved in the Thursday night production and broadcasts. I think on Sundays, in the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock blocks, the bad games get tucked away because you can flip around. You know, if you've got money on a game and you're invested in it, that's one thing. But generally, you can flip around and find the good games. You can live on the red zone channel, however you want to handle it. The bad games get tucked away. If we start isolating individual nights and have a game on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every night of the week, there are going to be a lot of bad games that can't get hidden. So I think Amy Lawrence was making this point before we came on the air on her show on CBS Sports Radio, supply and demand. I just think you don't want to expose too many bad games, and you can't draw up good matchups for each night of the week.
Yes, I like that point of view. I wouldn't mind another game on Monday night. I wouldn't mind a doubleheader on Monday night. I am in for that. So I don't. Am I a yay or a nay? I'm halfway there. I hate being. I'm a maybe.
You're a Chinese farmer.
There we go. I'm a Chinese farmer. I don't mind. For me, I like to watch all the games, so I like them spread out. But I understand that point of view. You're going to expose some bad games if you you don't know where those teams are going to be. I like this. I like the schedule changing. I like them not knowing. Like, you might play on a Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday this week, and we're going to change the schedule as it goes. Is that a crazy idea?
Well, yeah.
They're doing it right now.
Athletes are creatures of habit. I mean, that's the only challenge there. I just remember back to the NFL Network Thursday night games, and you're getting, because every team has to play on a Thursday night over the course of the season, you're getting a crappy Jaguars team taking on a crappy Colts team a few years ago. Like, I mean, and then it's color rush, and I stare at the jerseys for 2 minutes and go, well, I've seen that. That's not enough to keep me watching. You're staying out of this last year, and a Silent Vic and me. Should Ziggy get hair plugs, yay or nay? I'm a yay. Okay, so 2-0. Go get hair plugs. But don't.
I think they're expensive.
Don't
start a GoFundMe page for hair plugs.
Oh, God. That would be sad. I wonder if Brian Burke thinks you should get hair plugs. Should we ask him?
No, not asking him that.
No, we're not asking him that. Okay, all right. Well, he'll join us at the top of the 8 o'clock hour.
Twitter, everybody posting like hair plug pictures?
Hair plugs and circle beards? Oh, it's a busy morning. It's a busy morning.
There's one. We have one tweet in from Arrested Development. Do you watch Arrested Development?
The old show? No, I haven't watched it in a long time.
Never mind.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll check out the tweet. Kevin Barker, co-host of Baseball Central with Jeff Blair. Can Ziggy hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball? We'll ask Barker that question and get into the baseball playoffs. It looks like Tampa Bay is headed to the World Series, and maybe Atlanta will join them. Barker's next. Tomorrow morning, we're going to the batting cage up in Vaughan, and we are going to see if Ziggy can hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. And if he doesn't, he's got to grow the Sammy Cosentino handlebar stash. I think he should have to grow the circle beard. We've tweeted that out. But I'm not going to force him to.
That's a bet.
Change
the bet. I stick to my bets.
And I've got to throw on goaltending equipment head to toe and take pucks from you and a couple of your U of T players if you win the bet. If you actually hit 90 miles an hour, make the ball go forward. You can't foul tip. You can't foul tip. Kevin Barker is here to throw some tips Ziggy's way, if there are any to share. And we'll go through the baseball playoffs. Looks like the Rays versus probably Atlanta. Dodgers are going to have to win four out of the remaining five games of the series.
Already calling it.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, boys, how we doing?
Okay, so
are you already calling it? Did I hear that correctly?
I just heard Scotty say, okay. It's Rays Braves. What?
Well.
What's happening here?
Well, is it Rays Braves? I mean, it's 3-0 Tampa Bay.
Yeah, well, the Dodgers series, you know, you just hope you're a Braves fan that Max Muncy all of a sudden now has confidence. And, you know, he's pimping a home run down a few runs like that. It just takes him, you know, a couple of good swings to find the flow and find getting off his backside and driving down and through a baseball to carry a team for 3 or 4 days. You hope if you're a Braves fan that didn't happen. Josh Tomlin coming in and, you know, basically throwing balls right down the middle and giving the Dodgers a chance to come back. You hope if you're a Braves fan that didn't happen, but you know it's going to be a tough road now. You know, what are you getting from Clayton Kershaw? What's going to happen with the Dodgers bullpen? You know, Braves got a good team. Braves can pitch. The young guys that are starting for that team don't know any better. They go down and away, they go up and in, they flip a curveball to a left-handed hitter that, you know, you got no chance of hitting. And then you turn it over to a pretty veteran bullpen who, you know, can locate, can elevate, can get guys out efficiently and pass the baton to the next guy. The Braves got a good team, man.
The Kershaw thing, and it was disappointing because he got pushed back at least. He was to start game two, and then they had to push him back because of the back spasms. The back has been an issue, Kevin, for years for Clayton Kershaw. And, I mean, obviously a back problem is going to affect anybody who has it. But I don't know if there is a guy who has had a more complicated delivery that he has been able to repeat through the years than Clayton Kershaw. And with a wonky back, the way that he drops that front foot,
yeah,
pulls it back up, and then lunges forward to deliver his pitch, it's an incredible thing. But if that back is gone, he's not going to be able to repeat that delivery. There's just no way he can do it.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. You know, with what we've seen from him in the playoffs, if you're a team facing him, are you really scared of Clayton Kershaw, the playoff guy? Look, if he has the really good over-the-top breaking ball and he's throwing that for strikes and he can strike you out with it, then, yeah, he'll give you some fits if you're a hitter. But, you know, the 88 to 91-mile-an-hour fastball that he throws now and the added little slider that he likes to throw that has late movement, you know, is that a big threat to a team that can hit like the Braves? Yeah, I don't know. It's not something that you're going to go home and worry about. I don't know if you guys saw my demo on Instagram that I threw out with Clayton Kershaw. The one thing that I was trying to do was what you were just talking about. When the foot comes down, how much his hand with the ball in it moves down below his knee. And I was telling my wife when I was driving to work after like 2 hours after I'd done that demo, how bad my back was hurting. It's just because I was dropping my hand so far from his glove down past his knee to get the arm back up again to the same slot all the time. Put so much pressure on the bottom part of your back that I just don't know, you know, how he's lasted this long. It's again, you know, he's been a great regular season pitcher. You hope he can go for the Dodgers and give them a quality start, but I'm with you. You know, how what's he going to give you next year? Is are we seeing the end of Clayton Kershaw? Yeah, I hope not. You know, he's been a fixture for the Dodgers forever, and you know, hopefully they can make a run at this and maybe give him a championship. Is he the one guy that's earned it? Is he the one guy that you're supposed to root for in these playoff games to actually win a championship? I don't know. Maybe if you're a Dodgers fan, I'm sort of leaning towards the Braves. I think offensively they're a better team. I think defensively they're a better team, and I think this time of the year bullpens play, and I think the Braves have a better bullpen.
You mentioned the young starters for the Braves, and I mean, if you're Atlanta, you have, you know, Max Fried goes in, okay, you give up, you're going to lose the first one if you're the Dodgers, fine. But then you have Anderson, and what's it looking like right for tonight? And you said it's almost like they don't know what they're in. This is, Wright's got, what, 14, 13 starts? Yeah. You don't think they feel the pressure at all in this moment?
I don't think so. Well, they're up 2-0. Kyle Wright, why would he have pressure? You know, again, it's about the first inning. Get to the first inning. You know, you're going down and away. You can start locating all quadrants of the strike zone. You can get a secondary pitcher, pitch a feel for that coming off the fingers. You know, the spin rate's the thing now. You want to elevate with two strikes. If he can do that, right? He's got a 2-0 lead. You attack. You try not to walk as many people. Ian Anderson yesterday had to work through that. The 5 walks, again, that's because some guys for the Dodgers, Max Muncy, Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger, you know, they look lost up until the 9th inning, and you hope for, again, I just said that the Braves, you know, haven't woke a sleeping giant, but again, it's the starting pitchers, that's what they're doing. I think a lot of it does too mean that you look in the bullpen and you have those guys, the lefty righty matchups that can match up with any lineup with power. Power plays this time of year because location, you've done it for a little while. No 60-game season, you haven't done it as much, but you've done it, you know, some. You may be sore in some places. Location may suffer a little bit for that. But if you're a left-hand, you've got 97 in the tank. Why pick? Why nibble? Come right after somebody, make them hit it. And that's what the Braves have been doing. Again, they play just enough good defense. They run the bases. You know, they have speed and power up front. And I've said this to Scotty earlier when we were doing Baseball Central, that Freddie Freeman all of a sudden shown up. What, three for 3-for-8 with 4 RBIs and 2 homers. Now we're talking. You got your superstar leading your team, and now everything else is falling into place.
I texted you Monday night, Kev. We, of course, did Baseball Central on Thanksgiving Monday afternoon, and Freddie hit the home run in the first inning, and I texted you right away. I mean, he obviously heard you, and then he piggybacked it last night with another one.
He looks like he's not chasing hits. I've never been as good a hitter as Freddie is. But it looks to me like whenever he's in the playoffs, for whatever reason, he's trying to carry his team instead of letting the game come to him and, you know, just be himself. Don't try and expand. Don't try and chase. Don't try and, you know, make things that are not there. You know, go up and just be within yourself, hit the ball hard and good things are going to happen. Ball jumps off his bat. That's the one thing. And again, if I'm on that team and I'm seeing him do his thing, there's no pressure on me now. I just walk up to the plate. I get good at pitch to hit. I try and hit it as hard as I can and let the cards fall where they may.
With Kevin Barker, co-host of Baseball Central with Jeff Blair, 2 o'clock each weekday here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And you can get Kevin on Instagram now for his baseball breakdown videos at Kevin Barker Baseball. Jose Altuve is having a bit of a Steve Sachs, Chuck Knobloch situation with the yips throwing to first base on ground balls to him at second base. Kevin, I mean, I don't know. It's impossible. We won't find out. I wouldn't imagine until next year. I don't know if this is a brief issue or if this leads to something much longer. Sachs, it plagued him for a couple of years. Chuck Knobloch ended up moving to left field. Mm-hmm. John Lester can't and hasn't for years attempted to pick runners off of first base because he can't throw the ball to first. It's just weird to see it happen to a guy who has shown no such issue at any point over a near decade-long career now.
Yeah, I think I can relate a little bit. When I was in AAA one time, like the last 5 games of the season when I was playing first, I couldn't catch a baseball thrown from the shortstop. For whatever reason, he would throw it to me. It would hit my glove and fall out of my glove. And it got so bad for a couple of games that they had to put me in the outfield. Like, just put me as far away from that thing. Let me not think about it anymore and come back. Now, I've been playing first base forever, since I was a kid. I played a little bit of center field in college, but mainly, I was a first baseman, and I went through that little thing of don't throw the ball to me. And you know as well as anybody that a first baseman has to catch the balls when they're thrown to him. So I can relate a little bit. I think the shift hurts him a little. He doesn't have the strongest of arms. You know, I'm not sure it's an accurate arm. And I think when he plays in that short right field, well, that's when he was playing. Now they've switched, flip-flopped him in the shortstop Correa because Correa has a cannon and he could throw it from anywhere. But I just think footwork-wise, he really doesn't know how to line his feet up towards his target and finish it. What I mean by that is normally he'll catch it at second base, a normal ground ball. He'll catch it. He'll just flip it over there. He doesn't really even have to move his feet. When he's playing that far away, how do you do it? Do I catch it and still flip it over there? And can I put enough on it that I beat the runner? Or do I have to catch it, do a little shuffle of my feet, throw over the top, and throw a strike to first base? I think he's a little in between for that. Now you see him move to his normal position, and it's carried over. So how do you get through that? I don't think you can. I think it's one of those things where you have to fight through it. It's, you know, you're a second baseman for a big league team trying to win a game in a playoff series. That's you're one of the main pieces. They're not taking him out. You know, you figure it out. You come out, you take ground balls. I would move him around. I would put him in the outfield. Let him throw a ball to first base. Let him get the feel of that. Let him get back to confidence in knowing that if I move my feet in this certain way and I line it up this certain way and I get on top of the baseball, it has enough carry to get to the first baseman. You know, reps, and more reps. That's how you get through things like this. That's how I got through it. Whenever I couldn't catch a ball from the shortstop at first base, you just go over there and you do it over and over and over again, and you gain confidence doing it. And look, we all know what the Astros have been through. Adding this to it, and you see Dusty Baker over there. You know, yesterday you saw him hugging Altuve. When he come off the field after the couple of errors, he was hugging him. That's the one guy on both of these teams you root for is Dusty. And Dusty going through these things, it's a little bit of a hard watch. Like you know what the Astros are not doing. You know, the Rays, listen, when they scored the 5 runs in the 6th inning, who raised their hand going, this game's over? Why are we even watching this anymore with the bullpen the Rays have? The Astros have no chance. It would be nice to see Dusty have a little bit of run at this and not get swept and because he's a good guy, and you know, he's had his issues in the playoffs, and I played for him. I know what kind of person he is. I know, you know, what kind of father figure he is, and just seeing him hug Altuve coming off the field that one time, I can relate to that because I was sitting down by Dusty one time, and he felt awful doing it. You know, he's like a Zen guy. He come in, he's trying to, oh, it'll be okay. You know, you'll be called back up not too long from now, which I was. I went down a day, I was back. So it was, he's a good guy. You root for him. You hope it works out.
Do you?
So I'm getting.
Okay. Oh, no, I wanted to jump in here. Do you remember what you said to me as we were leaving the studio on Monday off the air when I told you that Ziggy was going to try to hit 90 miles an hour in a batting cage on Thursday?
Not a chance.
That's what I said.
Okay, Ziggy, I got a question for you. Are you lefty or righty?
I'm not quite sure. I guess I'll find out tomorrow.
So, really, you have no chance. Like, what's the bet? You don't even know which side you hit from. Okay, well, obvious question here is, you play hockey, right?
Yeah, I'm a righty.
What do you shoot the puck with?
I'm a righty.
Which side?
I'm a righty. I'm a righty.
Well, say it with confidence. I'm hitting right-handed.
I'm hitting right tomorrow. Well, I'll try right, and if it doesn't work, I'll go left. Isn't that what the major league players do?
That's not anywhere near what a major league player does. I can't hit right-handed. Oh. I just turn around left-handed. No, it does not work that way. Okay, well, what I was going to ask you means nothing now. I was going to ask you if you can get in an athletic position, get off your backside, drive down and throw a baseball, and hit a ball the other way, which you don't even know which side you're hitting from. So,
I was hoping you were going to come tomorrow. And are you coming tomorrow? Or what's
I am. Well, after you just told me that you don't know which side you hit from, I may have to call a boss or two and say, hey, you know what? May not be sure it's worth the drive to Vaughn. It's pretty good ways out there to watch a guy that don't know how to hit.
I'm actually looking forward to watching. I want to see you hit a ball. That's what I want to see.
The bet is not for me hitting.
I like to see pros playing. Like even I think people will be more interested in that than seeing if I can hit a baseball.
This guy's tried 17 different ways to back out this morning so far.
Yeah.
Don't put up with it, Kev.
What was the bet? He grows a beard? I've seen him shave 15 minutes. He has a beard. Like, how hard is that going to be? What kind of bet is that?
I'm going to text you. Is your phone on right now? I'm going to text you a photo of what I think Ziggy should have to do.
Not happening. We have a bet already.
It's called a circle beard. I'm sending it to you right now. This is what I just sent it. So check your phone. It's just been delivered. You tell me if that's the look, the circle beard. I put it out on Twitter at Scotty Mac Thinks.
Yeah. How hard do you think that'll be to grow? He grows a beard in like 25 minutes.
I don't think I can grow the top. That's what I'm worried about. I can't grow the top of that. So I'm sticking with the handlebar mustache.
Yeah, it sounds like you're pretty safe. You know, you putting gear on and getting a bunch of pucks chucked at you, it sounds like you're not going to have an issue with that. I mean, the guy don't even know which side he's going to hit from.
I'm just worried.
Like, I played with guys that tried for 2 or 3 years to try and hit 90-mile-an-hour fastballs. They couldn't do it. I mean, they're professional hitters.
For a
guy to walk in a batting cage and, you know, which side do I hit from? I think you're safe, Scotty. I think you're good.
I'm just worried he's sharking us, Kev. I'm just worried he's sharking me.
I haven't hit a ball. I haven't hit a baseball in 20 years.
Ever. So say it. You can say ever. Say ever.
Ever.
Ever. Ever.
There you go. Say ever.
Get him on Instagram at Kevin Barker Baseball. We hope to see you in Vaughn tomorrow, although I can't blame you if you take a pass.
I was ready to go for that until I heard righty lefty. I don't know. We'll flip a coin. If I can't do it right-handed, I'll flip around left-handed.
Great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Great stuff, Kev. Love it. Kevin Barker.
See you guys. Have a good day.
You bet. He is the co-host with Jeff Blair of Baseball Central here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Brian Burke at the top of the hour. What you watching coming up next? Brian Burke coming up, Adnan Burke at 8:30. What you watching, Huberl?
Well, you got your choice of not one, but two baseball games today. It's game 4 of the ALCS. Astros and Rays. Rays should finish that off, I'm thinking. And game three of the NLCS, Braves and Dodgers. Dodgers up 2-0 there. I heard you guys talking about football a little earlier, and what do you rather see each week in the NFL? Games on Monday and Thursday, games on Monday and Tuesday, or a doubleheader on Monday?
I'll go doubleheader on Monday and start the first game at 7 o'clock Eastern, please,
oh, nice.
So that
yes.
we all don't have to go to bed before halftime. I just think the Thursday games sometimes, especially with better opponents, those games are so important.
Yeah. But most of the matchups are terrible. And it seems that way. Anyway.
If you're playing on 3 days rest, it's tough. Give me the doubleheader on Mondays, and let's get back into action the following Sunday.
Zig, what do you think? Monday and Thursday, Monday and Tuesday, or doubleheader on Monday?
I like the doubleheader Monday over everything, and I think that could be a move going forward. Yeah.
I like what
Scotty said earlier on how if you don't have a good game on Tuesday, it's going to be tough, right? You can hide that game on the weekend. And I think that's the way to move forward.
Brian Burke coming up on the work Kyle Dubas has done over the last week. Taylor Hall to Buffalo. Alex Petrangelo locks in with the Vegas Golden Knights and where it all goes from here. Berkey, next. Where did the hat and hoodie go? You changed
the
it
hat
all
and
up.
Hoodie is off. It's off after 8 o'clock.
Who are you, Mr. Rogers? You,
yeah.
Take off the jacket and dress shoes, and you throw on the
I was gonna say
sweater and
Superman. But we'll go with Mr. Rogers.
More Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
Tomorrow you can be a superhero when you try to hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball off a pitching machine. Ain't gonna happen.
If I get hurt, is this like, oh, is this gonna, am I gonna get workers' compensation if I get injured and trying to hit a 90-mile-an-hour baseball?
You're outside office hours. I mean, it's 9:01 in the morning until 5:59 the next day. You're off the clock. It's whatever happens in leisure time. Adnan Burke coming up at 8:30. Here he is, Brian Burke from the NHL on Sportsnet. Hockey Night in Canada. His book is out. Brian Burke, Burke's Law, which he wrote with Stephen Brunt. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning, guys.
How much better are the Maple Leafs today than they were when we talked last week?
Decidedly, in my mind. I think they really made some good moves. I like everything they've done so far.
Yeah, it's I like this team, the way they put it together. What do you think of the Leafs trying to add more veteran pieces? I know Thornton's name's being thrown around. Is this not one of those things where you can have too many guys towards the end of their career, or do you like moves like this?
Well, I'm a big fan of Joe Thornton's, but with Jason Spezza coming back, I'm not sure there's room for two of those guys. It means one of the younger players doesn't play, and it doesn't address the grit situation. I'd rather see them spend the money on some more sand.
With Brian Burke of the NHL on Sportsnet, this is Leadoff on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We've been talking a lot this week about defining toughness, Burkey, and what that means in today's game. And Ziggy's talked about some of the signings, some of the acquisitions will help the core of this team, quote, play bigger. Do you agree that they will, and how do you define toughness in this day and age?
Well, toughness to me is winning individual battles and playing the body. Obviously, fighting has faded into a very secondary role, but I think like a Wayne Simmonds plays hard all the time. Every time he goes in the corner, there's a battle for the puck, and I think they've got to do more of that. If you watch the playoffs, it's not that there was fighting, but in the finals, there were two games that were over 100 hits. It was very difficult to play unless you were willing to play hard. And so to me, it's a mindset. It's winning one-on-one battles. It's being willing to hit and get hit. So I like the moves they made. I like Wayne Simmonds as very much as a player and a leader. I had TJ Brody in Calgary. He's a really mobile defenseman, left shot, but prefers the right side. That was an upgrade. I think they've done some good stuff.
How much is the coach Sheldon Keefe in on some of these acquisitions and free agency and trades? Like, how much does Kyle Dubas go to the head coach and say, "Hey, what do you think about this guy?" Or is he not involved in any of this?
No, he'd be involved because you don't want to bring in players that he doesn't like. Like, if you bring in a player that the coach hates, it's not going to work. And sooner or later, you're going to have to trade him or fire the coach. So you never, like with Randy Carlyle or Mark Crawford or Ronnie Wilson, you would never call him in and say, "Hey, I just got Mike Zigomanis. I just got John Doe." And the coach make a long face and say, "God, I wish you'd talk to me first. I can't stand him." So he would definitely be involved. And you might, if he said, "I don't know about that," then the GM makes the call. But you'd at least consult him. You don't want to. The one thing you cannot do is bring in a guy where the coach says, "I absolutely hate this guy. I can't stand him being around. I don't want him." It's too late then.
Well, it's a good thing Ronnie Wilson didn't even know who I was, so that was, I guess, a good acquisition by you. I honestly never heard that guy's name before. Sure, give him a shot.
That's why you wear the tape with the name on the front of the helmet during training camp, right? With Brian Burke. Jimmy Vesey is an interesting one, Berkey, because he never signed after being drafted with Nashville, and then there was a bit of a rush to get him as a free agent. The Rangers won that. Scored in double digits for a few years on Broadway, but has never really firmly found his footing in the National Hockey League. What has prevented him, I guess, from reaching the potential that so many people seem to feel he had?
Yeah, I was never that big a fan. I thought he was, it was because he was a free agent and free. There was a scramble to sign him, and a lot of those August 15th guys from the NCAA, that happens. But if you look at, as a group, the amount of money that's been expended on college free agents, and I applaud going after them because they're free. They don't cost anything. But if you look at the number that are signed and the number that make an impact in the NHL, it's really a negligible group. Now, some of them have been special, like Joel Otto was one of the best college free agent signings ever. Tyler Bozak. So it's worth exploring. But as a group, they haven't really made that much impact. So I look at this as a Dennis Mulligan, a depth signing. Maybe makes your team, but they're obviously committed to having a strong Marlies team too. So to me, he adds depth. If he can make their team and play well, great. And if not, he'll be a Marley.
So then going back to your time with the Leafs, Brian, was Bozak a guy you projected to be what he would become, or was it all gravy? Because at the same time, you brought in Christian Hansen, and that one didn't work out quite as much. It's obviously no risk, potential for high reward, and Bozak gave you that.
Yeah, we had Tyler Bozak rated as the best college free agent available that year, and probably one year on either side of that. Like, we went after him hard. Like, I only met Tyler Bozak the day I signed him, but I had gone to Regina and taken his parents out for dinner twice that year. So we had an inside track on Tyler Bozak long before other teams were involved. And, we didn't even talk to the player. And I told Tyler the day I met him and signed him, I had gone in to see him play late in the year. And they played Colorado College, and they got spanked. They got beat like 8-2. And Tyler must have been -4. It was the worst game he ever played. And I said to him, "I was at your game against Colorado College." And he said, "And you're still here? You still want to sign me?" But you could see all the little things he did, winning faceoffs, his positional play, his offensive instincts. So, yeah, we had very high hopes for him.
Yeah, I remember hearing the hype about him. And I got to the Marlies 2010. I played about a dozen games, and I loved him right when I saw him. I heard mixed reviews, and as soon as I got on the ice with him, I said, "This guy's going to be, a great NHL player." And not too many guys, people in the business, thought that. So I think, moves like that, Berkey, are great. And that's kind of where you really have to
trust your staff, is it not, when you're going through like those free agent signings and you go through free agency and how much guys, I guess, guys that work under you have to push the general manager and, you know, make cases for players?
Yes. It's critical. There's too many players to watch. So you've got 32 NHL teams in a year, 32 AHL teams. I don't know how many college teams. They keep adding Division I teams. There's too many players to watch. The GM cannot see them all. So you rely on video to some extent. Like, I had good video viewings of Tyler Bozak, but then I went in and watched them live because we, you know, the guys were telling me, you got to get in and see them. And it's not an easy place to get to, you know, when you're traveling with your team, get all the way out to Denver and watch a kid play. But I watched them on video, listened to the scouts, and then the guys are coming to me saying, look, this guy's going to make our team in the next 6 months. He'll spend some time with the Marlies, but he'll be in the NHL for 10 years. And they were right. It was a great signing.
Is Taylor Hall's MO signing in Buffalo strictly the opportunity to play with a player the quality of Jack Eichel? Because, Berkey, he had been quite public in advance of the free agency period saying, look, I just want to go somewhere where I have the opportunity to win. And if you make the argument that there are five or six playoff spots already taken up in the Eastern Conference, that doesn't leave Buffalo, who's got a bad decade in its rearview mirror, with much wiggle room to get into the playoffs. Is this an opportunity to play with an elite centerman, put up some stats, and then perhaps cash in a year from now?
Yes, that, and that's all it is. He has a chance to play with the center. I believe Jack Eichel's one of the 10 best players in the NHL. And I don't think he's talked about nearly enough. I think he's an absolute stud. So Taylor Hall hitches his wagon to that mule, rides it for a year, and see what happens. He might like Buffalo. The funny thing is, people from Toronto go down and watch the Buffalo Sabres play, and they make fun of downtown Buffalo. What they don't realize is Buffalo's a great place to live, and they have great fans and a very passionate fan base. And the players that play there really like it. There's really nice places to live. Housing's not that expensive. So he may fall in love with the marketplace. But in the meantime, the primary motive is the money's not showing up right now. He's not getting a long-term deal. He had an off-season for him. I'm going to play with an elite center for 1 year and then see if the market rebounds, if we rebound from the pandemic, and if teams are willing to step up with long-term, big-dollar contracts. He's taken some risk, obviously. But this makes sense to me. It didn't at the time, but I talked to his agent, and it makes sense.
Flip side of the coin, is there any kind of placating going on to Jack Eichel? Because at some point, and I mean, Eichel's not a guy who ever hides what he's feeling. At some point, does Jack Eichel reach a breaking point with this Sabres organization?
Well, at some point, but I don't think they're there yet. I mean, they've been very good to him. They paid him well. He likes the marketplace. He likes playing there. At some point, that futility is going to get to a guy who's, you know, a top 10 player. And then hopefully he goes quietly to the GM and says, look, this ain't working out.
How hard is it for a guy like Kevin Adams, who's never been an assistant GM? You know, he's been in a longtime NHL player, was assistant coach for a couple years, step into the general manager role. Is that tough to succeed with no experience?
Yes. As I said at the time, and I watched the press conference, and I talked to guys that played with Kevin Adams, and they all rave about him. They say he was a hard-nosed player, worked hard, really good teammate. And
yeah,
obviously the Pegulas are tight with him. On, he did some business stuff for them, developing the practice arena and the Harborfront project. He's obviously a capable, bright guy, but with no experience. And as I said at the time when they signed him, I listened to the press conference. I went on the Zoom call. And the Pegulas kept saying how much they liked him, how much they trusted him. And as I said at the time, well, would you hire him to be an astronaut? I mean, there's some specialized training here. You know, like the fact that he's a good guy and bright, okay, we'll all agree on that. So he's had no experience, but this move I think is going to energize their fan base. It makes sense. And you hope and wish a guy like that to succeed. But with no training, it is hard. You're running, trying to get up to speed where guys have been for 10, 12, 20 years.
Brian Burke is with us on Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Toffoli gets a four-year deal in Montreal. Josh Anderson, acquired via trade, immediately gets a seven-year contract. There's a UFA next summer in Brendan Gallagher, who's one of the leaders and one of the heartbeats of that team. And it appears, sitting here right now, Berkey, that the Habs and Gallagher are on some kind of crash course. Is there a way that they can work through this and ensure that a fan favorite is a Hab long term?
Yeah, there's plenty of time to work this out. I mean, I don't share the pessimism that this means. The fact they're not talking, or that they brought Josh Anderson in, I don't read that at all at this early stage to say that Brendan Gallagher's not coming back. I don't share that pessimism at all.
Do you think Toffoli's worth more than the contract he got, Berkey? I don't know. I'm on the fence with what he got. And majority of people that I've, you know, read say that, wow, this is a great deal for Montreal. Where are you with Toffoli?
Well, I really like him. I think it's a good signing. I don't think it's a great deal for Montreal. I don't think it's a great deal for Tyler Toffoli. I think that's about what you would guess he would get in this marketplace. Like the free agent, the free agent marketplace, except for a couple stars, you know, Pietrangelo got paid, Torrey Krug got paid, but by and large, for the forwards, and even the goalies, the market didn't materialize like people thought it was. Last year was Bobrovsky, 8 years at 10 or whatever it was, 7 years at 10. This year it's 6 at 6 for Markstrom. So the pandemic the economics of the game have been altered. And so this is why Taylor Hall did not get paid. This is why he's taking a short-term deal. This is why players are structuring their contracts with more money in the back end of the contract, because they think the revenues will bounce back. So Jonas Brodin's contract, his highest salary years are later in the contract. Everyone's hoping, and I think we will, that the business will rebound. But right now, the revenue side of this business has been decimated, and that was reflected in these free agent signings.
The Vegas Golden Knights are, you know, move on from Schmidt and Stastny. They open cap space for Pietrangelo, bring him in. Is it a worry around the league or amongst players, you think, and agents, that Vegas is a team that, you know, you can't really trust what moves they're going to make because they're just going to get rid of the player in a couple years because they want a new player?
Yes. I mean, that's a real risk as an organization. So you got to balance a couple things. One, I applaud their willingness, their desire to win. And they're a better team. Nate Schmidt's a good player, but they're a better team with Pietrangelo in the lineup. And it solves a right shot, left shot problem that they had in the playoffs, which I pointed out at the time was exposed. And so to me, I applaud Vegas. They're a better team today than they were yesterday. But they signed Nate Schmidt. He was a day one guy. They gave him a 6-year deal. They bring in Stastny. And then the rumors that Martinez and Pacioretty have been shopped, at some point that's corrosive in your dressing room. And you know, Ziggy, if you're looking to your left and right and wondering who's next, that's not healthy. So they've got to stabilize this at some point. This churn, this constant churn of roster players, is demoralizing. And so at some point they're going to have to address that.
Berkey, we'll let you go. Appreciate your time this morning, and we'll do it again next Wednesday.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Ryan Berkey of the NHL on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada, and his book. Do you say that books are on shelves now, Ziggy? Because it's like everything's online, right?
I read physical books still.
You do?
Is that weird?
No.
Well,
I got a
VCR. So what do you expect?
You got a VCR?
I'm just lucky. I'm actually reading books, and I'm not reading like. I want to see. I don't know how to say. I'm reading off of like stone. What do you say?
Like a tablet.
Yeah, a tablet. There you go. Like an actual tablet.
Like an actual stone tablet, not a Kindle type tablet. Burke's Law is the book, and it's available wherever.
I gotta read that. Books. That's gonna be. I heard it's great. I've not read it yet. It is on my list.
And if Stephen Brunt,
go out and get it. I heard it's great.
Stephen Brunt was involved. You know that it's really, really good stuff. Adnan Virk, we'll ask him if he thinks you can hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. We'll talk to him about the chin beard. We'll get into the NHL situation, free agency. The NFL, the Buffalo Bills pitching a stinker last night in Tennessee. The Titans really hadn't been practicing for 2 weeks as they went through COVID. Their facility, for the most part, shut down, but they got it done. The Bills are no longer undefeated. Baseball's playoffs. It looks like Tampa Bay is going to come out of the American League. Atlanta's got a 2-0 lead on that very strong Dodgers team. And LeBron James and his epic legacy. All of that with Adnan Virk next. Text line is just lit up today with responses to all of our silly questions.
On fire right now.
People are picking Anaheim as the destination that they would go to if they were a free agent in the NHL. I send me a half hour, 45 minutes up the coast to L.A., man. Anaheim, it's Orange County. There's nothing going on. Have you heard, though, that Timu Solani still lives down there? And apparently, Ziggy, I don't say his front door is unlocked, but he's known in his neighborhood, and it's just like, go hang out with Timu whenever you want. Have a beer in the backyard.
I got a good Timu Solani story. Do I have time for it right now,
Absolutely.
Or do you want to do it later?
Yeah. Fire away.
I'm a healthy scratch. I'm playing with Phoenix. I'm a healthy scratch in Anaheim. And there's a ramp going from like the street parking lot down toward like the arena event level, and that's where all the Ducks would park. So I get to the game right before game time, probably, I don't know, an hour before the game, maybe 50 minutes. We're walking down the ramp we took a cab to the arena, and all of a sudden, halfway down, walking down this ramp that's, I don't know, 400 feet, 300 feet, we hear a car screeching, and it's this like tinted out Mercedes, and it like blows right by us down this ramp to the event level in Anaheim. Who gets out of the car? Timu Solani, with his tie not done up, jacket on, and is on his arm, dress shirt, pants, no socks, dress shoes, out of his Mercedes and runs into the rink like an hour before start time. So, I mean, warm-ups in 25 minutes. And he, like, went and had a goal and assist and was, like, one of the best players on the ice. But I'll never forget that. Timu Solani showing up 1 hour before a game and almost ran over all the scratch players on the Phoenix Coyotes.
Oh, my God.
This has been, like, 2007, 2008.
Well, I remember covering the Stanley Cup final in Ottawa back in 2007, the Ducks and the Senators. And two of his best buddies traveled to Ottawa for the road games for the Ducks. And they would wear they became famous in the city for 48 hours because they would wear their blue Finland jerseys everywhere. And they were absolute piss tanks. And just right in the middle of everything, and everybody else was wearing red. Those two dudes were wearing blue. They were at all the bars. It was crazy. But yeah, Timu just lives life, man. I mean, I don't think there's much that bothers him. Speaking of people who aren't bothered by much, here's our good buddy from the NHL Network, MLB Network, the GM Shuffle podcast, which he co-hosts with Michael Lombardi. Adnan Virk is with us for his weekly Wednesday hit. Hello, sir.
Scotty Mac, Ziggy, how we doing? Good story time there from Ziggy. Timu Solani, the Finnish Flash. I love it.
You bet. Yeah, 76 goals in that rookie year. Not bad with Winnipeg. We've had a bunch of very important conversations this morning, and I'm just going to itemize them and ask you for your opinion. Is it okay to say we when referring to our favorite teams? We need a centerman. We need to win this game on Sunday. We need goaltending. We need a better starting pitching staff. Are you good with we?
1,000%. Listen, sports is all about fandom. Fandom is short for fanatic, as we all know. Listen, you have to feel invested. You feel like you're a part of the operation. Now, former players, whenever I've been around them, whenever they hear someone say we, automatically make fun of them. Mark Mulder, the former 20-game winner, two-time All-Star. Whenever somebody would say, hey, we got to get better, I'm like, oh, yeah, we didn't realize you had a uniform, didn't realize you were part of the team. So former athletes, I find, engage in the mockery, but I'm very much in favor of it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I had a buddy up in Ottawa who I worked with at the sports radio station up there. He'd always say, who are you talking about? You and your tapeworm? Who's we? Who's we? Always like that one. And also tomorrow after the show, we are wheeling it up to Vaughn.
Nice.
To a batting cage. And Ziggy insists that he can hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball off a pitching machine.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
Wow,
I
yes, know Ziggy's an wow, athlete. No chance.
No, exactly. Listen, Ziggy, I know you're an athlete. I respect it. I know you can do good things. I'm telling you, man, 90 is 90. I mean, I take my kids to the cage, and I get really good when I'm grooving on those 55-mile-an-hour heaters right down the plate. I'm smashing them. You get that sucker up to 65, I'm like, oh, this is tough. And I see guys sometimes at the cage hitting 70, 75, 80, 90. That's another story.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. He's got to wear a handlebar stash. He's got to pull the Sammy Cosentino for a full week. Now, Cosentino can pull it off.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure Ziggy can.
What's amazing about Cods is, like, I had not worked with him, you know, 10-plus years since I was at the Score. We're reunited for the draft, and as soon as I saw him, he had the handlebar. I said, oh, my God, he had this back. I'm like, oh, wait, it's amazing. You're right. Certain guys can pull it off. And what an almanac, by the way, on junior hockey.
Oh,
I could not stump Cods. He's amazing with the hockey knowledge.
Oh, geez. I mean, this guy, I just think he gets a room at the Ramada in Rouen, Noranda for like a week and a half. And it's just like
those, days in?
The days in?
Like days in Owen Sound?
Somebody's keeping the light on for him. There's no question about that. The old red roof. Like
the red roofing.
Like I just picture Sammy Cos hitting like a snow squall in Flesherton on his drive to Owen Sound. Just there's an attack game on Friday night, and he is going to be there come hell or high water. I love it.
Rented car, I don't know, Oldsmobile.
Oh, yeah. Legendary.
Well, that was my favorite part of the draft. Like, some of these names are legendary. Like, forget, like one guy, speaking of squalls, his name was like Winter, you know, because he was born in a winter snowstorm. So, you know, mom named him Winter. Gunnar Wolf Fontaine. Incredible name. Mom wanted to name him Wolf. So, what the heck, we'll go with Gunnar Wolf. And then, of course, Bear Hughes. One of 10. Bear Hughes gets drafted. I'm like, I love it. Number 6 of 10. The one that I was so furious. I mean, literally 8 hours of draft coverage we're hosting from rounds 2 through 7. And Ivan did not get drafted. He would have been the first NHL player drafted ever with the exact same first and last name. To which Dave Reed said, what about Pete Peters? I'm like, what about him? He's like, no, that's close. I go, what do you mean? He goes, Peter Peters? I go, it's not the same thing. All right. Ivan would have made history. We had him 217th on our draft board, did not get drafted. But thankfully, Gunnar Wolf Fontaine and Bear Hughes did.
Like, I watched a pretty good portion of your coverage on the day of rounds 2 to 7, and I was thinking of you, and I'm like, this has bad sandwich day written all over it, where you've got, like, 2.5 minutes in between on-air hits, and you've got to eat one of those cured meats with cheese, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches where the bun is already half hard because it's been exposed to oxygen for 2 hours, and you're just throwing it down your gullet, and then you got to get right back on the air and be a pro.
You completely nailed it, Scotty. I mean, we walked in, and they said, okay, it's scheduled for 11:30 to 3:30. And Brian Lawton turns to me and says, well, I wouldn't be surprised if this is done by 3. Famous last words. And so, as we're obviously, as you point out, famished after the 2.5 hour round 2. I mean, I never thought I would say the words, we're 6 hours in and round 6 is coming up. So at one point, they took pity upon us and there was cheese pizza delivered to the studio. And like jackals, exactly what you're describing, we housed a couple of pieces in the commercial break. Literally, as the commercial break's coming back, I had to spit out whatever I had, the remnants I was trying to swallow, just so I wouldn't screw up my toss back to Bill Daly. And then I just sat there forlornly staring at that pizza. I'm like, could have swallowed that down, man. If I chewed a little quicker.
With Adnan Virk of NHL Network, MLB Network, and the GM Shuffle podcast, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Want to know your first thoughts on what the Leafs have done in free agency and what you think they'll make going forward here in the coming weeks?
Well, it's interesting, Ziggy. I want to go first to the draft because, you know, Reader and I are watching along with Lots, and we're looking at each of the names. Here's the craziest thing because our researchers are so good. And they pointed us out, I think up until round six, every single player the Leafs had drafted was somebody that was currently playing. So I was like, all right, so this was the strategy, clearly. You know, get a guy who you have more tape on, somebody you've seen more of. And none of the players were North American. If I'm not mistaken, the first six rounds, maybe even gone the full seven. It was all, you know, non-North American players, somebody who was playing overseas in the KHL, you know, playing in the Swiss Elite League, et cetera. So I thought that was interesting. Okay, this is the theory. We're going to go with guys who are playing more, and that's where we want to go. In terms of free agency, you know, you kind of had a sense that, you know, they weren't going to be teams that were going to be able to make a huge move, you know, in terms of sign, like, you know, Petrangelo, somebody who would be great for the defense, that kind of thing. But I do think that, you know, I've seen them kicking the tires here about Joe Thornton, and that's just interesting, right? Listen, a one-year deal maybe, mutual interest. That's one of those that you say, okay, what's one of the problems with the Leafs? Yeah, they have lots of talent, but they could use more leadership, maybe a strong voice in the clubhouse. I do think something like that, Thornton, could be interesting. You know, it's just you have to mix and match, right? There's only so much you can do with their cap space. It's well documented how much money they have locked up for those top four guys. So, you know, maybe you can make a move like that and hope that it's relatively minor in terms of money, but major in terms of, like I said, leadership. And Joe probably proves he can still kind of play. There's no question about it. And obviously TJ Brody, I mean, this is a guy who played 10 seasons for the Flames, scored at least 30 points, six straight seasons. We had Elliot Friedman on Friday NHL Network, and we were talking, just as the day was going, and he said the Flyers were actually interested in Brody, so I thought they may be going there. But the fact he goes to the Leafs, listen, we knew they had to shore up their defense. Brody's getting $5 million a year. I think that works.
The Thornton thing is interesting to me. I guess my hesitation is the age. I know it can be a lot of reward with no risk on a one-year contract that's probably in the high six figures at this point. They also have Jason Spezza, which is what Brian Burke pointed out in the previous block, Adnan. If you're bringing Thornton in, it's because you would view Alexander Kerfoot then as a depth piece at center. You'd be moving him to the wing. I mean, Johnsson and Kapanen are gone, so it depends where you see Kerfoot as the best fit on this team.
Yeah, and it's a good point too. Again, to go back to the draft we were looking at and going, you know, you can never draft enough centermen and defensemen. Like, that's always the key, no matter what, because you can always move a guy to the wing. So to your point, you know, centermen are always at a premium, and you should always feel like, okay, that really is important. Somebody who can play up and down the ice and be critical on faceoffs and all the rest of it. And so if you're telling Kerfoot, okay, listen, this is the spot where we're going to find your best, a guy who you feel like you're trying to mold and building blocks and all the rest of it, that would be a little bit odd, I would agree, in terms of what the message is that you're trying to send. I mean, you signed him to a $14 million deal. You obviously think he's pretty good, and all of a sudden now you're shifting around because of Joe Thornton. That would be a little interesting.
With Adnan Virk on leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. NFL, Bills, they get thumped by the final score in Tennessee last night. And, you know, I'm hanging out on Twitter just observing, and some of hashtag Bills Mafia were doing the Twitter equivalents of choke slams through tables, a bit of panic. And I can liken it to being a Leafs fan and knowing the psychological scarring that's gone on through the years. I think people need to pump the brakes here, Adnan. I think this Bills team is pretty good. I think Josh Allen has clearly taken steps this year. He threw a couple of bad picks last night, I'll grant that. But they are 4-1, and they do have Kansas City coming in on Monday. And people are saying, well, the Chiefs are coming in, defending Super Bowl champs. Chiefs just gave up 40 to the Las Vegas Raiders. They were life and death to beat the Chargers in Los Angeles in week two. I think the Bills will bounce back and win this game on Monday.
I like that pick, Scotty. This is the downside of Tuesday Night Football. The good news is, hey, as NFL fans, this is great. I got Tuesday Night Football. We can have football every day the way this is going. The downside is that people who haven't seen a lot of the Bills, or maybe have just seen headlines and highlights, oh, Bills are rolling. Okay, what's going on here? They lock in on that game. They go, oh, my God, here we go again. Josh Allen looked pedestrian. Defense obviously gave him a ton of points and yardage. You know, hats off the Titans. You know, hadn't played in 16 days. I mean, that's shades of the St. Louis Cardinals, the Marlins, what they had to go through in baseball. And yet, Tannehill's still rolling, and they're 4-0. So I get the frustration for Bills fans because, you know, you lock in a game like that when it's the only game in town. But I'm with you. It's still a really good team. I think Brian Daboll's done an excellent job, their offensive coordinator. He's the guy that worked with Nick Saban in Alabama, tailoring the offense toward Allen's strengths. The biggest key for me on whether Buffalo is going to succeed this season is whether or not Allen can throw the ball down the field. If he can do that with consistency, and obviously that's why they got Stephon Diggs, a big play target, then that's different. If he's going to be a dink and dunk guy who has to use his athleticism and rush for first downs, you know, then I don't feel as confident. But I'm with you. The Chiefs matchup should be great. Clearly, Andy Reid knows he's got to bolster that defense. I mean, that was ridiculous. They made Derek Carr look like Dan Marino. I couldn't believe how many points that the Vegas put up, and John Gruden certainly has a little something going there with Vegas. But, yes, Bills Chiefs I think is going to be a really fun game to look forward to.
LeBron James and the Lakers win the Larry O'B this year, and the talks are going to heat up again, who the greatest of all time is. I want to take in a different, asking something maybe you haven't been asked before, a fact that you see LeBron always talk. You saw his post-game stuff on he wants respect. Do you not think that when a player asks for it, it means they haven't got it? And by asking, there's no way the media or the fans are going to give it to you until they decide that you're the greatest.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a crazy comment, Ziggy, while still understanding where LeBron's coming from. Like, anybody who doesn't give him respect is insane. I mean, everyone knows how great the guy is. He's either the greatest player of all time or the second greatest or maybe the third greatest. He's on a very, very short list. He's on the podium, so to speak. But what it reminds me of, and you know this, athletes always have to use motivation in whatever form they can. So he can't say, yeah, I know people view me unanimously as the greatest player of all time with this championship, and therefore I'm going to rest on my laurels. No, he's going to keep saying, no, give me some respect. Keyshawn Johnson, give me the damn ball. You know, every great athlete has to look at Jordan famously in his Hall of Fame speech. I mean, it was a horrific speech. It was as classless as it gets. His Hall of Fame speech, he's chiding his high school coach for cutting him. And he literally went through a list of people he's had grievances against and he's held grudges against. And you go, wow, like, what a terrible time to spew this out. Like, this is where you're supposed to be gracious and complimentary. And instead, he would go the other way. But I will give Jordan credit. That's who he always was. Like, if you wanted him to be classy and humble, well, Michael Jordan was never that. He was clearly the opposite, and he used all of that negativity as fuel to drive him forward. So I think similarly for LeBron, hey, man, you got to get something in the motor after all those seasons of playing, after now 10 NBA finals and 4 championships. You tell yourself, no, no one respects me. They all think, oh, you colluded with D-Wade and Bosch, doesn't count. Oh, in a bubble, it's not a real championship. Well, I want some damn respect. I'm like, okay, fine. Like, if that's what you think, I don't think that's the way the world views him. I think everyone I know thinks LeBron is unbelievable.
Well, and Adnan, just on the off-the-court stuff, I always hesitate to compare anyone to Muhammad Ali, because Ali went to jail, right? I mean, he really put it on the line. And, you know, he lost, I don't know if it'd be millions of dollars back in the 60s, but he lost a good number of paydays for the stances he took. So I'm hesitant to use that comparison. Again, it's about comparing eras. But LeBron James unquestionably is one of the most, if not the most important athlete of our generation.
Couldn't agree more. And again, to draw the comparison with Jordan, you know, he took heat, I think deservedly so, for the fact he never wanted to weigh in on social or cultural or political issues. And, you know, he said the comment tongue-in-cheek, you know, Republicans buy shoes too. Apparently he said to Horace Grant on a bus, was what he said in The Last Dance, and felt that he took too much criticism for that. But there's no denying he, very much like Derek Jeter and Tiger Woods, just want to be great players and make a ton of money, and we don't want to say anything controversial, and that's fine. You know, that's your prerogative. But to your point, LeBron is more of the ilk of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Arthur Ashe and Bill Russell and Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, black athletes who are going to take a stand, who are going to speak their mind, who are unafraid to say controversial statements and draw lines in the sand. And for that reason, personally, it's up to each person, but I respect LeBron more because I think he's got more guts in what he says publicly and what he stands for, and he's willing to take the blowback. And especially what we've seen in this country in the last 6 months, LeBron's, I guess, no question, has been at the forefront of trying to create social change and bringing awareness to Black Lives Matter and speaking out. And I think he's a phenomenal guy, Scotty. I agree. It's tough to compare anyone to Ali because, as you said, I ain't got no quarrel with them Viet Cong. He went to prison because of what he said about the Vietnam War and was proven correct in his obstinate refusal to support it. But LeBron is a very, very special human when you look at what he combines off the court with on the court.
Right. And detractors will say, well, put your money where your mouth is. And to that, I would say, well, the man had a school built in Akron, Ohio, so that disadvantaged and underprivileged kids could get an education. And it adheres to the Akron public school education curriculum. So,
right.
You know, I mean, talk about putting your money where your mouth is. We'll leave it there, pal. You and I both avoided talking about our favorite NFL teams, which I think is a wise decision. And we'll see if there's any reason to bring them up next week. And by that, I mean verbally, because I am getting close to bringing up watching the 49ers play. Good to hear your voice.
It might be me, just like with that pizza during the draft, Sky, just spitting it out just because there's nowhere else for it to go. Great to catch up. Ziggy, good luck with the 90-mile-an-hour heat.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah. Say a prayer at approximately 10:30, 10:45 tomorrow morning. Think good thoughts, Adnan. Send out the vibes. Send out the vibes.
Will do, boys.
Adnan Verk of the NHL Network, MLB Network, and the GM Shuffle podcast. He will jump into studio, and we'll tee up for good show next. Nick in Collingwood texting in. He says, I'm nuts.
Well, yeah.
Or, well, yeah.
More specific?
Well, but that's, I mean, he did have a more specific point. He has no idea how correct he is,
okay,
generally speaking. But he says, I'm nuts because I think the Bills are going to beat Kansas City on Monday.
I don't think that's crazy at all.
You know,
Kansas City's there for the taking right now.
Reputations precede.
Yeah.
Teams across all sports. Like, we assume Kansas City's gonna mop the floor because they're the defending Super Bowl champs and they got arguably the best quarterback in football. They just got hung with 40 points by the Raiders and barely beat the Chargers in week two. It hasn't been a cakewalk for
them. Our good friend Ross Tucker said, not only are they not going to be a dynasty, they're not even gonna win the Super Bowl this year. Like, it's not gonna be the Chiefs again.
But even dynasties don't win the Super Bowl every year. New England.
Yeah. It just seemed like
it was a dynasty.
Yeah.
Didn't win it every year.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I don't think that's crazy to think the Bills could beat the Chiefs.
One sleep, Ziggy, until you got to hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
Now, that's crazy. That is crazy.
I'm more interested to see if you can hit a 60-mile-an-hour because he's got to wear, what's it called? What's that beard called?
I'm not doing that. What's I never called? Agreed
the
to
circle
that.
Beard?
The circle
the
beard.
The circle
60
beard.
60-mile-an-hour.
I'll do something
cannot
else.
Cannot wait.
Check it out on Twitter at Scotty Mac. Thanks at Mike Zigamanis at Hugh W. Burrell. Anthony Stewart's gotten involved at Stu Munroe. The circle beard. It's a look.
What is the over-under between the 80 to 90-mile-an-hour fastballs? The over-under, the number of how much contact three of us get?
0.5.
0.5, okay.
There's no chance I'm making contact on a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
I'll take the over just by accident.
All right. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Good show's next. Have a great hump day.
Say it with confidence. I'm hitting right-handed.